please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
Let's see how the broadcast gets from the studio to your home.
Tonight on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. With some TV trivia, we have the one and only John Tatey. And we have our good friends from the Irish American Heritage Center here in Chicago playing some music and telling us about an exciting event coming up. And to speak about the state of the city, we have former police chief Gary McCarthy. And now, live from the Allstate Skyline Studio here in Chicago, it's the Patty Vasquez Show.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us after the Sox game. I am your host, Patty Vasquez. Joining me is Andrea Darlis, and we thought we'd welcome, sounding a little bit tinny. Our engineer Adam is, we're working out the kinks. We're under construction here. We're just moving in, which is why we thought we'd bring in Andrea. I think it's weird to have Steve and Johnny in studio with us.
This is so cool. This reminds me of when I first started in 1997, and I was doing news, working 2 to 10, and I'd finish up my last newscast, and
I'd hear Steve and Johnny,
and I'd hang out just to hear the intro, and then we'd be talking and talking and talking, and you guys are like, we gotta go on the air.
Wait, I just found pictures of you.
Oh, I know what you're gonna say. Is it with the Nelson twins?
Yes.
My favorite show ever.
We had the Nelson twins.
You know, Matthew and Gunnar Nelson, Ricky Nelson's twin sons.
Oh my god!
We had them in the studio. And
what?
They were the guys with the blonde hair down to their waist, and she was.
I have rarely seen Andrea breathe so heavily.
Oh my god!
Out of her mind.
I was. And what? Remember what I brought in? Remember this?
Yes.
I had a notebook from high school. Remember back when with Bon Jovi and all the hair bands and Poison and Metallica? I had a notebook with the Nelson twins on the cover, and I brought, don't even ask me why I still have it. I save everything. I brought it in. We took a picture. And they signed it.
But she was like trembling.
Oh, I was.
So cute.
It was like my little high school crushes.
I love them. And Steve was excited because Rick Nelson's kids. And they performed that night on the show. They did Garden Party, the first time they'd ever done their dad's song.
Yes, it was cool.
And they told us the whole backstory on Garden Party. And
you know what, Johnny?
They're so impossibly gorgeous.
They're gorgeous and they're so good. Their talent is through the roof.
Yeah. Are they still performing?
They're solo performing now.
Okay.
They were just, where the heck were they? Down in Nashville doing some special performance.
But Matthew and Gunnar have kind of gone their separate ways.
Okay.
And they've cut their hair. They've got, but they had hair to their waist.
Oh, yeah.
Straight, like platinum blonde, naturally blonde hair.
Did you pet their hair a little bit?
I did. They cut it a little shorter when they were in studio. It wasn't all the way down their backs. But, they were like our little teen crushes in high school.
That is similar to the night that they surprised me for my birthday by having Bobby Sherman on the phone for me.
Aww.
And when he sang Johnny, 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 Do You Love Me instead of Julie, Julie, I started crying on the air.
How lovely.
Followed by, I wiped my tears and they said, what are you wearing right now? It seems like, what are you asking this man what he's wearing?
But that's okay.
I don't know. I just wanted to know what he said. I had my bathrobe on. And I was
actually,
those tears.
And she's going, what?
That was one of two interesting what are you wearing nights. The other one was Dick Clark.
Yes.
Who had just come from some appearance, calls in. I don't know if we were promoting the ALS drive or something like that. And at some point, Johnny said, what are you wearing? And he said, well, I just got out of the shower and I'm not wearing anything. And then he went into this, I look good.
He said, wait a minute. Let me get in front of the mirror. Woo! Dick Clark, you look good.
You look good.
Go Dick Clark. Right. I love knowing that about him.
So start asking your guests, what are you wearing?
I'm going to do that.
That should become, at least for phone interviews, the closing question.
I actually have that as a title for a screenplay about a radio host.
Really?
Who actually, before we started live streaming, I had the idea that someone would always ask the host. It was kind of like a play Misty for me type of story.
Oh,
yes.
God.
Yeah, familiar
without,
with the movie?
Yeah, without with Clint Eastwood. Yeah,
It's a, that was like his first directorial movie.
It was
very good too.
But yes, we should totally be. We should ask. I don't know. It could be weird though. We might be inviting.
I know.
For our guests, not our listeners.
Yeah,
our listeners.
McCarthy needs to be.
Gary McCarthy, should we ask him? What's he?
That's
what are you wearing?
A gun on?
That's what threw my mind too. And I told Patty,
is that a gun in your pocket?
I told I told Patty last night. It's so funny now working nights again.
Yeah.
So in the morning, you know, whoever we have, Gary McCarthy, Rahm Emanuel, whoever it is, everybody's always in a suit.
And they smell like aftershave.
Yes. And they're just freshly crisped. Senator Katowski was in yesterday. Yes. I did not recognize him. I mean, I've covered Springfield for years. He walks and he has a beard, well, which, you know.
T-shirt.
He did not show that just for the show. I know.
And a baseball, like kind of a dirty baseball. Probably, you know, baseball cap that we all just kind of wear around the house.
Dirty baseball hat, Senator.
Sorry,
Senator. Like the record show that you arrived in a dirty baseball hat.
Exactly.
But this reminds me, we need to get you two to uphold a tradition that we started years ago. I don't know if you know, we were number one with PWPs. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
PWPs.
We paid for the research to prove. Seriously, this was paid research for our program.
I'm writing this down.
PWPs.
Yes.
People without pants.
People without pants.
Yes.
At this time of the day, people calling in.
That is true, though.
We had more people without pants. Now, the troubling thing was when truck drivers called.
Yeah.
Said,
hey, I'm out here on I-65. I'm one of your PWPs.
You know, they're up there in the cab. Maybe the circulation's not so great.
And those calls, those calls always begin with, hey, Johnny. Oh, hey, Steve. How you doing, Johnny?
Well, in their lingo, I'm the seat cover.
Yes.
You know?
Nice.
When you are in the passenger seat, you're the seat cover.
Oh, I was told I was a co-pilot, but I guess seat cover will have to do.
Well, I was, right? Well, actually, I was called high maintenance. We're driving down I-65. Seriously, we're driving down I-65. We've got our CB on because that's what we're still old school. CB's rocking the CB.
I don't blame you.
It was one of those days when we had just finished up at 5 in the morning and we were heading for Panama City Beach, going to be there at 7:30 that night. So we're driving along and this big pick-em up truck is right next to us.
And a semi.
And he looks down and we're listening to, they didn't know that we were listening to them. And this one guy says, check out that silver car coming up. Look at the seat cover in the passenger side. I bet she's high maintenance.
And I roll down the window and I'm like, I am not. I just have my hair in a bun. What are you talking about?
Right. Johnny wouldn't do what I wanted her to do. Uh-oh. Since we had our own CB, I wanted her to just click in and say, yeah, boys, but I'm worth it.
Yes!
No!
That's all you need is a semi chasing you around the country.
Right! That's another movie with Dennis Weaver.
Did you ever see Duel?
Oh,
I've never seen
Duel. Me neither.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Oh,
I've not.
That's a classic movie.
This was Spielberg's first directorial. It was a
made-for-TV
movie. Dennis Weaver is by himself driving, and there is this truck.
A semi.
Oh, my God.
And he's being stalked.
And you don't know why, but you keep seeing the grill of the truck as it gets closer. And it drives him off the road, one of the scariest movies you will ever see.
I got goosebumps just talking about it. But we love truck drivers. This is just one weird movie.
Well, did you see Joyride?
No.
Because the guy from Silence of the Lambs, the actor who plays the killer, plays a semi-driver.
Hopkins?
No.
Buffalo Bill? Ted Levine?
Yes. I think he's from Chicago.
I think he is. He's a Steppenwolf guy.
Yes, he has. So he gives the voice to this truck driver. What's the name of the actor that died in the Fast and Furious movies? Paul Walker.
Yeah.
Paul Walker, and it's with Steve Zahn and Lily Sobieski.
Oh.
And they kind of accidentally taunt a semi-truck driver. And he ends up stalking them, but they're flirting with him, sort of pretending, leading him on that they're trying to seduce him, and they're like, "Hi, it's Candy Cane." So throughout the movie, he's like, "Candy Cane." It's really creepy. I thought it was pretty well done.
Yeah, you do.
Candy Cane. It puts the lotion in the basket. It's the same voice.
That poor guy. He will never get over that role. He was
great on Monk, though.
You know. He just played. Oh God, there was the I can't think of the name of it. It's a new Netflix, The Alienist.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, you, Patty, you guys will.
We've got some episodes
and
recorded.
Ted Levine is a bad dude in that one as well. And I thought this poor guy, aside from Monk, he can't get away from these crazy roles.
You said Candy Cane, which made me think of the Chicago movie Candy Man.
I remember that. Oh. It was set in Cabrini Green.
Yes. With Virginia Madsen, Chicago's own.
We're down in Florida. We're watching that. And we're sitting next to each other on the couch watching it. And Johnny grabs my arm and she says,
I have to go to the bathroom.
Will you walk me to the bathroom? She was so scared.
We're just like 10 feet away from the living room. Is that the movie the movie that did that for me was, you know, classic scary, The Exorcist?
Oh, mine too.
I did not sleep with the lights on for days after that movie.
No. But I was fooling with the Ouija board at that time.
Me too.
I was very heavy.
Not that time, but yeah. How'd you get into the Ouija board?
I was heavy into the Ouija board.
That always freaked me out. I never did it.
Bought me one.
Well, I used to get invited to parties so that I could entertain with your Ouija board.
The sleepovers,
And so when I saw the movie, I was like, oh, crap, that's the devil talking to me.
Does she ever bought the Ouija board with you?
No.
She didn't want to go there.
No, because I had the Ouija board.
See, I wasn't allowed to have one.
Well, and that's probably why the movie really affected you.
Oh,
but I saw the movie the night that it opened at the Gateway Theater, and I stood in line in the snow, literally. Why do I think it was cold and snowy? But anyway, by the time we got in, they had nurses in uniform walking around because people were passing out.
Oh,
that just builds the tension because you're standing there and there's nurses in with the white hat and the white shoes, you know, old school nurses, and you're like, probably they really weren't nurses.
Yeah.
But it worked. I was like, oh my gosh, I could die in here.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That'd be scary right there.
And we sent your brother to see Hereditary because Nick said, oh, you got to see it. Scariest movie ever.
He was our bird in the coal mine.
He was the canary for me.
To see
your brother was?
Yes.
Okay.
I said, go and see it and tell me if I can see it or not.
And did he?
And he was kind of bored, which I thought was crazy because Nick, I think he's seen it twice. And Toni Collette is outstanding in the movie. And Lee, your brother, agreed, but Lee said
he almost dozed off except for about the past 15 minutes.
Last 15 minutes. Yeah. Nick is like screaming right now. What's wrong?
Nick is throwing things.
He's driving
radio
off the road.
I used to like your brother, not anymore.
By the way, I wanted to give you an update on Gunnar Nelson. Did you know that he was on Celebrity Wife Swap?
No.
Oh. Yes. 2 years ago, someone from the 217 messaged us.
Oh golly! Remember their brother was being raised by Mark Harmon and his wife, Pam Dauber.
Yeah.
Really?
Because their mother kind of, after Rick Nelson died in the plane crash, the mother...
I didn't know that.
Had all, yes.
And was Tracy Nelson their sister?
Sister.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know whatever happened to her.
I don't either.
She was Square Pegs, wasn't
yes.
she?
Yes. Wasn't she a nun?
She had her...
Yeah, the nun show.
The TV show. Oh, God. Let me Google that.
Father
Knows Better. No.
It was a Father something. Dowling Mysteries.
Father Dowling Mysteries.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
With Tom Bosley.
Ooh, hello.
Okay.
Hot. I don't know where that came from.
With Tom Bosley. I mean,
yes.
How random is it that... And I didn't even Google that.
You didn't Google it and it came up in Patty's mind.
Whoa.
It's all happening.
Look at that connection.
Let's take a quick break here. We're hanging out with Steve and Johnny, who, by the way, are going to be in tomorrow night at 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Yes.
Right after our show, which
Woo-hoo,
is the Patty Vasquez show. Yes.
Night Side.
The Night Side.
Yeah.
Look it. Is that what they're calling the 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.? Is the Night Side?
Yeah.
I like
that's
that.
What it said in the paper today.
All right. The Night Side. All right. Let's talk more about that. Catch up with Steve and Johnny. Johnny and Steve. I always, you know, I was,
thank
I,
you.
I can flip it around. More after this on 720 WGN. Yep. Tomorrow night, WGN Radio is premiering The Night Side. And this is sort of a complicated way to explain our schedule, I guess.
Yes.
On the nights that Andrea and I are on our full show schedule, which is 7 p.m. to 11 p.m., there will be a 2-hour show from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. when Nick D starts now at 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow night, to kick off The Night Side, are Steve and Johnny. Johnny and Steve.
Yeah.
And since it's Wednesday night, we're going to do something old school.
Mm-hmm.
For years,
you're going to bring in Matthew and Gunner. Oh no, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Steve.
For years, we did on Wednesday night. We did Website Wednesday night.
I remember that. 16 years. Yeah.
So, I remember with Don Crabb.
Yeah,
Don Crabb.
Yeah.
And tomorrow night, we're going to do a little bit of that with Patrick Crispin, who was the head of our cyber squad, who is now he went from being a student in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, at the University of Alabama, to joining us, and then he is now the head of the computer department out at USC. USC.
Oh, cool. He's Dr. Crispin now.
Nice.
And he's our grandbaby's daddy.
Yes.
Because after all, they adopted us, too. So.
I love that, too.
That's cool.
Yeah. So we'll do a little bit of that, and then we're also we're not sure. We're going to have a live in-studio performance.
You know, 2 hours are going to go too fast.
Yeah.
We've been here a half hour, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That's going to be very fun. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to doing crosstalk with you.
Yeah.
Which is something I've never been able to do.
Should we practice now?
Yes. What's coming up on your show? See that it's
awesome. Hello, Patty and Andrea.
Hello.
No, this is so cool. Oh, my God. This is flashing back to, you know,
I know.
20 years ago.
So, yeah.
Literally.
I look over my right shoulder, and I'm having a little bit of a hard time with the height.
Oh, really?
Because I'm like,
it's
funny.
Seats.
I didn't realize it bothered me until I looked over there.
Am I the only one? Does this remind you at all of the studio in talk radio?
Mm. Oh,
where you just kind of look out and it's
with Eric Bogosian.
It's not the time, But that studio was fashioned after the old WGN studio.
Was it really? Which, by the way, have you seen the old board? Is at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Oh, did they really move it over there?
Yeah, the old board, and it's still, you know, Spike. Surprisingly, sometimes would look out the window and not pay attention too much, so he'd start scrawling in the board.
Spike?
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
So you remember how your old college radio boards, I guess people not in radio you'd scrawl in the desk at school.
No,
there's some etch marks in there too.
Wow.
Can I share the worst story of that kind of a thing that we've ever seen?
Please.
Yes. Are you going to name names?
I'm going to name names.
Okay. You have to name names.
Rest in peace.
Johnny and I met at WIND.
Okay.
WIND had just converted their studios.
Gorgeous.
Big, fancy studios, wonderful wood and high tech.
You didn't have to wear headphones in there, remember?
Mm-hmm. Really?
You did not have to wear headphones, so you didn't have to mess up your
hair. You would literally, there was a foot pedal you would step on, and you would just hear the callers at a volume loud enough that you could hear, but you didn't have to wear headphones.
Oh, my God.
Anyhow, Norman Mark was on.
Oh, my God. My mom went to high school with Norman Mark.
Really?
Yes.
Norman,
and to make this full circle,
Because he couldn't remember the phone number, guess what he did?
They were oak countertops.
Oh, God, no.
Blonde
chiseled
oak.
It or wrote it?
Chiseled.
Oh. Chiseled.
Carved.
What is wrong with people?
The next day, the engineering department came in. They were not happy campers. This was literally the first day of that new studio.
I think they sanded it with his tongue.
They said, what's you? Norman the poor guy. God rest his soul.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was an entertainment reporter for many years.
Yes.
We were talking today about entertainment reporters in Chicago. Ron Ulrich and Gary Deeb.
Gary Deeb. Was he Media Creatures, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't Gary Deeb?
Yeah.
And here's a trivia question that I don't have the answer to.
Okay.
Who was the media critic for the Chicago Daily News who was the first media critic, to my knowledge, to win a Pulitzer Prize?
We're too young.
Oh, yeah.
This would have been...
We don't know the Daily News.
60s, 70s, something like that.
Daily News.
He was, in fact, I thought of him because Norman Mark followed
him. Right.
At the Daily News.
Yes.
Ah,
my dad told me that.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I tried Googling it.
And nothing.
No. Because I was doing media critic, media columnist, Pulitzer Prize winner, because that was a really big deal for...
Yeah.
But, you know, media has always been a bigger animal here, I think, than people realize.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Tom wanted to join the conversation. Hey, Tom, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, you mean to tell me I'm going to be able to go to sleep knowing I can hear Steve and Johnny again?
Yeah!
Hi, Tom.
Whoa. Hey, have you ever thought of renaming your show After Dark?
Ooh. Maybe Life After Dark?
Hey,
I think we could do a T-shirt like that.
Wait a minute,
and a CD.
There you go.
And a CD. That's right. Yes, Tom, that's brilliant.
Because you'd have those same features, like Wednesday. You'd have Cyber Wednesday, and I would always call you. They would be talking about computers, and you'd always tell Steve would always tell me, "Remember to defrag your computer."
Words to live by, right?
Defrag your computer.
Yes.
Okay.
But we're just friends.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, we're friends.
So, and I'm just...
With fragging benefits.
I'm just curious, you know, just asking for a friend.
Okay.
If Johnny might possibly consider making her lemon cake for one of these shows.
That's funny that you should say that.
Just asking for a friend.
Because I said to Steve, I said, I'm going to bake tomorrow for Wednesday night's show. So,
oh, look out.
We'll be here.
We already had pizza and donuts last night. Oh. I told you we're fasting all week, Andrea.
I know, but you haven't lived until you've had Johnny's lemon cake. Just a little bite.
I've had her cupcakes.
Wait, you lose weight in the all-night shift.
We'll stand. We can stand now. We used to have an exercise
in the studio.
I remember
that. Which was great. You can get on the exercise and start breathing heavily.
And you know what? I remember you guys had a wall in that office in Studio A in the old studio, mm-hmm. and you pushed against the wall. It was like a catacomb, and it just went in. And there's this whole office, and it was stacked with CDs and records.
We used to call it the Wally Wall.
It was hidden.
Not that Wally was in.
They didn't hide Wally in there.
She said catacombs, and I wanted to be sure people understood.
No, Wally was not in there.
We did not leave him there.
For the mummified Wally Phillips, please walk through these doors. Right.
That was before the Walk of Fame. You had to do something.
You gotta memorialize people somehow. Exactly. Thank you so much for calling, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Sure.
See you tomorrow on the radio.
See you tomorrow or tonight for the rest of the show. So tomorrow night you're on from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. I'm excited about that. Why are you giggling? Did it just dawn on you?
Wally in the catacombs.
Yeah.
I knew it. I read her mind.
That was one of my favorite groups
Kindred
in the 70s.
Hey,
it's Wally in the catacombs.
I like that. Oh.
Doing death metal. Okay.
We're going to be struck by lightning.
I think that Wally would have a good sense of humor about
it. Oh,
yeah. If anyone was mischievous about it, no, he would not. No, I never met him.
I never met him.
I listened to him when I was a kid, but
so did I. Yeah. That's why when I got to work with him, I cried like a baby, right? The day I was going to work. Yep. I said, Steve, please don't make me go. I don't think I can do this.
Off the air, I will tell you the story of how I got her to calm down with Wally Phillips.
Oh, okay. All right, nice. And then we'll maybe repeat it after 10.
No,
of course not.
No, there's such a thing as off the record.
Exactly.
All right.
Absolutely.
Someday I'm equipping this studio with recording devices for off-air conversations, but not telling. So you're not supposed to do that in Illinois. Blah, 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 the law.
Yeah, right.
You have to have their permission.
Blah, blah, blah,
the law.
Yeah, really.
Have a wonderful show.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't count if you have emails and you're told not to send them to other people and share them publicly. Anyway,
Patty Vasquez at WGNRadio.com.
Yeah, which there's like six of them.
And that's like Vasquez.
Yes, she'll never get it, nor will she open it.
I don't know how to open my emails.
I know.
I feel so lucky this week. This is Chicago's very own. Don't forget, if you want a chance to win a 2018 Chevy Silverado, you've got to be listening to Steve Cochran Monday through Friday at 7:20 a.m. on 720 WGN Chicago. If you're a smart speaker user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Steve and Johnny, it's going to be a blast to listen to you tomorrow night and hang out with you in studio again.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. And we have to do a break first? Let me do that first. More after this on 720 WGN. I've been going to this fest since my boys were babies. Griffin was, I think he was maybe under a year old, maybe almost a year old when we went the first time, and we've been going ever since. To have such a great community center in my neighborhood, in the city of Chicago, celebrating all that is not just Irish, but all that is Chicago and everything that brings with it. Andrea Darlis and I are in the Allstate Showcase, the Allstate Skyline.
Yeah, the Skyline.
Showcase studio. Yeah. And this is so much fun. We have Kathy O'Neill, who is you're the marketing director.
Public relations manager.
Public relations manager. Mm-hmm. I probably should just have that tattooed somewhere, because every time you're in, I'm like creating new titles for
That's
you.
That's cool.
Thank you so much for bringing your guests in studio and musicians. And, of course, Terry O'Connell, who is part of the genealogy department at the Irish American Heritage Center.
That would be a cool job, wouldn't it?
I don't know. Terry, is it a cool job?
It's cool. It's cool. You'll find out in a little bit. A
lot of McCarthy's, a lot of Burns, a lot going on there.
Yeah, I get it.
O'Neill, sure.
You know, like it's like 3,000 names in the phone book in Chicago. What is the most common Irish name in Chicago, Terry? Would you say?
I have no clue.
Riley?
I don't know. O'Malley? Murphy?
I like O'Neill.
What do you think, Sean? O'Neill. What do you think is the most? Come on closer to
Murphy.
Murphy?
Oh, Murphy, of course.
Murphy would probably be one of them.
Kelly.
It's a fine name.
Kelly would be another good one, too. Yeah.
I go out on a limb and say we probably all know someone with the last name Murphy.
I think that would be accurate.
At least one.
Yeah. Or people who pretend they're a Murphy.
Yeah.
Just call me Murph.
Yeah.
Why? It's not your name. I know, but I like it. I like it. Hey, Sean and Jesse, how are you doing tonight?
Great. Yourself?
Very well. So you guys are both performing music at the Irish Fest this year?
Yes, we are.
Now,
yes.
What tent do they have you set up at, or which stage?
Well, we've got bands, and we've got a school, too. So our school, which is Irish Music School of Chicago, is playing. And then we have a band called the Kilgubbin Brothers. There's more than two brothers in this band. And we're playing, too. I don't actually know when we are. Kathy knows.
I do. You guys are on Saturday on the 5th Province stage at 4:15.
There you go.
And then your kids, the Irish Music School of Chicago, are on Sunday at 5 p.m. Outside in our kids' area. And then again on Saturday inside on our second floor.
Very cool.
Lots of stuff.
By the way, I think just recently added to the Saturday evening shows... I'll be performing stand-up comedy again on July 7th with Joe Kilgallen.
Yes, we've got you down from 9 to 10:30 outside on our folk stage, and Alex Joyce is the MC. We've got you, Joel, Sean Flannery, and Adam Burke.
See, and I know everyone's like, Vasquez. It's Patty Vasquez.
Exactly right.
Well, and Terry knew my dad.
Yes.
It doesn't get much more Irish than my dad with those twinkling blue eyes, mischievous smile, and a way with telling stories.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And well, his love for John Wayne. Seemed like the Irish. I don't know if I ever told you this, Terry. We actually had a listener in Ireland reach out to us because they were trying to raise money to save the train station that is in The Quiet Man.
I love it.
Yeah. Because we're on around this. We should reach out and see how they're doing with that because they were trying to preserve it. You know, there was movement. It was falling apart. A lot of people obviously go there to visit. I've never sat down with you. I know I need to bring you my birth certificate, but
you need to bring me nothing.
Well, then, I like that. Andrea was mentioning that that's probably an exciting job to help people trace their genealogy.
It absolutely is. It's fun. And especially like at the Irish Fest, when people come in and they really have no clue, they take out their phone and call and say, Dad, I'm with this woman and she wants to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then like we can go back sometimes 2, 3, 4 generations, depending on when their ancestors came over. I mean, if they've been in the States for a long time, you can usually find quite a bit for them.
It is funny. When I was in Ireland, the first time I went, we took just the entire tour, you know, started in Dublin, went all the way around and flew home from Shannon. And we were in either Killarney or I think it was Kilkenny. And we walked into this pub, of course, and there's the Chicago skyline on the back wall. And we said, oh, we're from Chicago. And they said, oh, do you know the Carrymen? You know, right over,
bar,
I guess,
sure,
in Streeterville. Yeah. Oh, that's my brother. I said, oh, my goodness. I mean, I didn't know his brother. I knew the bar, but I didn't know his brother. And then he said, people come in from Chicago all the time.
So funny.
And they usually all know each other.
That happened to us in Killarney. We went into this pub, and there was a street sign, Southport. And I was like, to my husband, look, do you see that? And he's like, what are you talking about? So I asked about it, and it happened that the son lives in Chicago, and he's helped somebody build a lot of buildings. And all the firemen come in and leave all their patches. So we got
to
walk through the whole thing.
Was his name Daly?
No.
Well, that's the wonderful thing about the Irish American Heritage Center is this incredible tradition, this relationship, this continued closeness between Chicago and Ireland. The folks who have moved here from Ireland, obviously, you know, very, very close-knit in the community and wanting to also have a place where everyone can kind of hang out and tell stories and build a community here. Would you say, Kathy?
Yeah, absolutely. We opened up in 1985, and it's an 86,000-square-foot building. And it was a place where people who came over in the 50s and 60s wanted a place other than church basement to meet and to have a home of their own, to call their own. So they started raising money. And I mean, to this day, we have volunteers who still work on the building 2 or 3 times a week, everything from tuck pointing to mowing the lawn outside to answering the phone. So we're very proud of the building and very proud of the tight-knit community and all the things we do for the community. We're very big on having benefits for people who are ill. We're out there in every facet of industry, so it's a really good place to come to learn about all things Irish, or if you just want to take language class or come and see a play or just have a pint at the bar, it's a really good place to start.
Chicago really just, we encourage our Irish heritage, even those who are of us who are not Irish on St. Patrick's Day, just go crazy.
A little bit.
Don't we? I mean, my gosh, it's so cool. The whole city's green.
Well, there's something about the music and the, I think the mirth. There's obviously Irish music. Jesse and Sean can vouch for this, that can, you know, be mournful. But there's something about certain, you know, moments when you're like, ah. Like, oh, we have a listener that says that the Irish music awakened my Irish-American brain. So just playing something in. We're gonna hear music from Jesse and Sean. I'm getting it right, Jesse and Sean? Because sometimes people just nod when I'm calling them the wrong name, and they're like, I'll fix it later.
Yeah.
But please don't hesitate. Sean, where are you from originally?
Chicago.
What neighborhood?
Rogers Park.
Right,
I would just say Jerome's.
All right. Excellent. When did you start playing musical instruments?
Started when I was 7. I started playing Irish music when I was 9, probably. Yeah.
And what draws you to it? Besides getting paid for it at these things.
Well, yeah, I don't get paid very much. it was a cultural thing. My family were big into their Irish heritage, and my parents were both teachers, and so we happened to meet a family who had just come over from Ireland, and they knew they had the inside track, and they said, hey, you played violin. You should come and learn about this stuff, because I knew about all the singy stuff I didn't know about, and that was it. I was hooked.
That's great. Yeah. I look forward to hearing some music. And Jesse, where are you from?
I'm from St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Oh, from St. Cloud, Minnesota. What brought you to Chicago?
I went to school here when I got out of high school. So and I've stayed ever since.
And you got stuck. Couldn't you like, you know, what? As long as I'm here, I might as well stay.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
And what drew you to playing Irish music?
Well, we grew up learning tunes from our grandpa. So my grandpa, Clarence Langan, played fiddle. So he taught all of us tunes as we were growing up. And we had a giant record collection. So we had loads of records of Irish music. So Sean and I kind of have opposite, like, Irish music childhoods. You know, he grew up in Chicago playing with other kids. And for my brother and me, it was like an imaginary music. We played with each other and we played with my grandpa.
Right.
And the records.
And then there were records. And the records were like this fantasy land where other people did this thing.
Oh, wow.
It was like
right.
The Beatles, the city to blues records or something.
Right, yeah.
Right, because there's so many pubs and different Irish music schools all over the city where, you know, they get a bunch of musicians together that kind of riff and play on it, you know. Weekly or whatever. What song would you say, is there one song that brings you back to when your grandfather introduced you to this music?
Oh,
is it Danny Boy?
No, they're like
I was waiting for it.
They're like 3 or 400.
Really?
That's yeah, cool. Lots and lots of. Yeah.
Let's take a quick
maybe
break
all
here.
Of it.
Maybe all the music. Well, I could see that too. There's I mean, my dad. My dad would loved Bing Crosby, and Bing Crosby had Tura Lura Lura. He loved that song. I know, right? When we were growing up, we probably heard that one. Terry and I. Let's take a quick break here. Hear some music from Jesse and Sean. We are talking to our friends from the Irish American Heritage Center. We've got Kathy O'Neill, Terry O'Connell. I didn't get Jesse and Sean's last names. I don't want to pretend like.
I like the Jesse and Sean thing. It
Jesse
makes us
Sean.
Feel like Madonna and Sting or something.
All right, Jesse and Sean.
Only I get to be Sting and you're Madonna.
That's why I saw it crazy. That's why I thought it was walking in the studio when you guys came in. Wait a minute. Is that Madonna and Sting?
You want to check out the Irish American Heritage Center's Irish Fest coming up July 6th, 7th, and 8th, rain or shine, Friday from 6 to midnight, Saturday from noon to midnight, and Sunday from noon till 11 p.m. And you can go to the IAHC.
IrishFestChicago.com website.
That's easier. IrishFestChicago.com. More after this on 720. Debbie Jan, it's the Patty Basket Show with Andrea Darlis. The taste of some of the music you can hear when you come out to Irish Fest at the Irish American Heritage Center, July 6th, 7th, and 8th. And we have our friends in studio from the Irish American Heritage Center. We have Kathy O'Neill, the Public Relations Director. Did I get that one right this time?
Manager.
See, President and CEO of.
No.
Terry O'Connell, who's got some, really has some great upcoming workshops for those of you who want to trace your family history, right? Whether you're Irish or not.
Right, whether you're Irish or not, and that's this Thursday at 7.
This Thursday at 7. How do people find out more information about
they
where
can
to
go? To, it's irish-american.org.
Org. Easy enough. And that's such a cool place. I've been to a wedding there. There's just great celebrations there all year round.
I love it. Irish-American.org. 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 And again, it's for anybody. It's not just...
It's for anybody. It's for basically for beginners. So it's really to get you grounded in what you need to do to move backwards.
Oh, there you go.
Nice, yeah.
Stay right there. Now move backwards.
Right. And reflect. Reflect.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
When you head out to the Irish Fest, you can see performances by five dance schools, including, and you guys have seen them on every late night show, every morning show, the Trinity Irish Dancers, visits from the Irish Wolfhounds, their bands from Ireland and the U.S., and in studio we have with us Jesse and Sean. They've got a couple Irish marches for us right now.
One, two, three.
The in-studio audience is loving you.
We love you, and the other audience loves you as well. That's Sean and Jesse. They will be performing at Irish Fest, and there's going to be, obviously, the Shannon Rovers will be there.
Yes, we've got two pipe bands, the Shannon Rovers and the bagpipes and drums of the Emerald Society.
The Emerald Society is like, can we get a little bit of love?
The
Shannon Rovers always drawing attention. The 301 says, wonderful music. By the way, Ken is concerned because they can't see Andrea on camera. We're working on it.
Wait,
you
want me to do my thing again?
Yeah, do your thing again. Okay. Come running around. She's going to come around. So if you're watching on the live stream, she's going to come and wave. I don't know where the camera
goes.
Here she is. Hi, everybody. There's Andrea, darling. She's here. I swear she's here. Ooh, I got a back rub on top of it. That's so. Thank you very much. Now, we love going to the Irish American Heritage Center every year. And we go for St. Patrick's Day. We go for Irish Fest. We go for a lot of the different activities that you have. What I've always loved is the family environment. Obviously, we fell in love with Gaelic Storm and all the great musicians from Chicago and from all over the world. Tell people a little bit about what to expect when they, because it's a pretty big crowd. But it's a big party.
It is, because it's indoor and outdoor, rain or shine. There's six stages for music, and there's also, we have our own kids area. So kids can come and do face painting and learn arts and crafts. There's live music out there, so Sean's kids will be playing outside. So if it's too hot, you can go inside too. And our whole second floor is jam-packed with cultural programming. So we make it a point to have our art gallery open and our museum and our library with programming in all of those rooms. And this year, we're so psyched because we're having Barry Butler, who is a Chicago photographer. Mm-hmm. You've seen all of his images on Facebook
beautiful.
And WGN.
Yeah.
He was born in Wexford in Ireland, but he grew up in Chicago. And so it's going to be a mixture of images from Chicago, like The Dying of the River Green, and some of his stuff from Ireland. And he's going to be on site all weekend.
Oh, that's wonderful.
He's just a photographic genius.
Yeah, I Facebooked him and said, do you want to come? And he was like, okay.
Seriously, you should Facebook him. I share his stuff all the time. Yeah. And people are like, oh, you took such a beautiful picture of the river, the lighthouse. I'm going, yeah, that's Barry.
I think my dad in Jersey, my 78-year-old dad, has been telling people those are his photographs.
Oh, nice. he can do that. That's okay.
Well, people don't know, won't hurt them.
Right.
And the second floor, you were mentioning the museum. There are artifacts going all the way back to the migration of Irish immigrants mm-hmm. to Chicago, which is so much fun to go in there and take a look. And then you have a rotating collection of artwork in the gallery, which I love that. And now, Terry, you're not a rotating artwork. you seem to be you're kind of holding down the fort all the time there. And I know you have other people you work with helping people find their records or how to trace their genealogy. Is there anything people should bring with them if they come to the Irish Fest? Or what kind of information is it best to have at least?
They should have, so if they're, let's say, in their 40s, they should have information on their grandparents. Because the records for us and, like, our parents, they're covered by privacy laws. So bring information on your grandparents, like, at least what year they were born in. If they've passed on, what year did they pass? Maybe what year did they get married? And we can usually work backwards from that.
That's incredible. Alex, what are some of the most surprising things maybe you've found in the last few years? Because I know you work with a lot of people.
So the most surprising thing I found in the last few years, I'm going to give you this weekend. Last few days. So I knew I was coming here, so I looked into your family.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Now, I've been asking you for years to give me information, and she's never given it to me.
No, I know.
So seriously, I have information on your immigrant ancestor.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Cool. Give us the dish.
So the dish is this. On August 29th of 1854... young Mary was baptized in a Catholic church in the townland of Woods in County Mayo. Mary was born to... I have to find it here. I've got all these notes.
Okay, wait. So, while you're looking, have you ever been to Ireland, Patty?
Yeah. I've never been to County Mayo, though.
Okay.
It's beautiful. So she was born to Michael and Anne. So Mary is your second great-grandmother. Michael and Anne would be your third great-grandparents. So they lived on land that was owned by William O'Donnell. And they rented basically land and a dwelling. And their rent was £2, 12 shillings. Seven of those shillings were for the house.
Oh, like a dowry almost.
So Mary came to the United States. She came to New York in 1874. So this family basically started right after the famine. So you have to think about these young people survived the famine to get married. And start this family that brought your family to the United
States.
And
to make it to New York.
Yes.
Incredible.
So I have more information for you, but I wanted to keep it very...
Yes, I know.
Private. Yes. to keep your stuff. But yeah, so... And Becca and I actually went cemetery hopping yesterday.
No way.
Oh, we did. Because we wanted to see if the information would be on a headstone. The Irish like to put it on the headstone, like the townlands they were from, and I didn't have it yesterday. So we went to the south suburbs, and I do have pictures of one of your ancestors' graves.
Yeah, I didn't know until my dad passed away that they were actually Southside Irish.
Yes.
Whoa, my people. Well, the Southsiders are, yeah.
I had no idea. When he passed away, I found his birth certificate, and I was like, wait a minute. I was raised Northside Irish. Where did this come from? Yeah, my dad was Southside Irish.
So yeah, so I have some of that for you.
Oh my, I feel like when they show this on Channel 11, I'm is happening?
Like finding your roots,
right? Affleck's going to come in the room. Yeah.
It's lovely to hear, you know, a name that's been in my family. You know, there's been Michaels. You know, my brother's name is Michael. My son's middle name is Michael. Obviously, a very traditional Irish name, but to hear how many times it gets passed down and shared from generation to generation is very lovely. And I knew I always thought her name was Maggie O'Donnell, but maybe she went by Maggie, but it's Mary.
Unless so Mary is, she's not an O'Donnell.
She's not an O'Donnell.
I have her full name. Oh. I'll give that to you later. But William O'Donnell was their landlord.
Oh.
So he owned the property that they lived on.
Now, I went to school with an Ann O'Donnell. So maybe, you know.
It all gets very strange. Mm-hmm. Let's take, do I have a break before? I don't have a break before the news. Let's hang out some more. Maybe. Do you want to play another song when we come back after the news? Mm-hmm. We are hanging out with our friends from the Irish American Heritage Center. July 6th, 7th through 8th is the incredible Irish Fest. And you can go to irishfestchicago.com. Com for ticket information. Mm-hmm. Buy your tickets early. Then you know that you're locked in for the weekend, or you can buy a day pass.
Yeah, there's a discount. If you buy them before the end of the day on July 5th, they're $10 in advance, $15 at the door, and as always, kids 12 and under are free.
$10 for some of the greatest music in the city of Chicago. I'm just saying.
In
this is perfect for anyone who needs to go off to bed right now. I hope we're not lulling any truck drivers off the road. But as I mentioned earlier, this was one of my dad's favorite songs. Tur-a-lur-a-lur. Do you remember the movie with Steve Martin and Goldie Hawn, House Sitter? They're kind of like con artists. But do you remember the scene when he sings it to his dad?
Yeah,
it was a Steve Martin scene. It was really nice too. Yeah. Irish Fest comes up on July 6th, 7th, and 8th. We're in the Allstate show, the Allstate Skyline.
Yeah.
Studio, and we don't know if there have been any other musicians. Michael, do you know if anybody else has played music live on the air since we started broadcasting from this studio?
Oh, that's a really great question.
I think no.
I don't think so.
I think you are.
Yeah, you guys are the first. Is there Mike?
I don't know. Adam, our engineer Adam, do you think there have been any other musicians that have played in the Allstate Skyline
studio? Has there been any other musicians that have played in the Allstate yet?
You guys could be the first.
No, yeah. You're the first.
Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. And you know what I just realized? What a bird's eye view we have of the river when they dye it green and
March. Oh, yeah.
Right? Reunion. Right.
This is going to be nice. We'll be seeing fireworks from Navy Pier on Wednesdays. And we can come down.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Perfect.
This is really cool.
Like the wonderful seat to be in. We are hanging out with our friends from Irish Fest, from the Irish American Heritage Center. You can go to irishfestchicago.com for ticket information. Again, July 6th, 7th, and 8th is Irish Fest, but we have a preview of some music right now on the air with Sean and Jesse.
All right, we're going to play two jigs with big Chicago connections. The first one is called the Bohola Jig, named after a place in Mayo, and the second was collected in Chicago in 1900 called Gentleman's Health to the Ladies. 3, 4...
Sean and Jesse, they'll be playing at Irish Fest. But you also mentioned when we were coming back from the news that you have a summer camp starting as well.
Yeah, well, we have a great connection. Our school and us as Chicago Irish musicians have a great connection with the Irish American Heritage Center. And we teach there once or twice a week. And we also run a camp there. We call it our Francis O'Neill Irish Arts Week, and adventures in Irish music, song, in dance, and that occurs during the day, August 6th through August 10th.
Okay.
This is our eighth year at the Heritage Center.
I have to ask, how hard is it to learn both the music and the dancing? And do you have to be Irish? I'm not going to do it, but I know my godchildren are just...
No, you don't know.
Immersed in the Southside Irish.
This is totally for, in particular, kids that have never done anything. This is to give everybody a taste of a fun week. The Heritage Center is a great place, as we talked about, how much space it is, how much space it has. There's even grounds. You can go outside. And we bring over teachers from Ireland, and we teach, and it's an introduction. There's arts and crafts. There's all kinds of stuff that we do. And this is our eighth year, so now we've got it, like, dialed in, like, how to make it super fun. There's, like, 40, you know, 10-year-olds. And, you know, like, as you get older, the classes get smaller. So everyone, like, learns how to do the tin whistle and learns how to sing a song or two and does stuff like that.
Oh, so much fun. That's going to be August 6th through 10th?
Yeah, you can find our information at irishmusicschool.org, irishmusicschool.org. Francis O'Neill Irish Arts Week is what it's called.
Cool. Very cool. I love that. So the ages are the age range?
Like, well, we have half days for 4-year-olds, and it goes all the way up into, like, 18-year-olds.
Oh, cool.
Obviously, they're not in the same classes, you know, but we've got so many teachers and so much room that we divide it all up.
Yep. Expand it depending on the enrollment. Oh, I love
totally.
That.
Totally. Yep.
When we come back, I want to talk about Irish food. I actually want to share a story that one of the memory that pops out for me every time I see Terry, and she's going to be like, "What?" And it's just silly because I never used to eat over at other people's houses, and I never was very. I always felt self conscious. More after this, you're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. More after this on 720 WGN. Coming up on July 6th, 7th, and 8th, you can have so much fun at the Irish Fest at the Irish American Heritage Center. And if you're wondering where that happens to be, it's at 4626 North Knox Avenue right here in Chicago. The number to this center is 773-282-7035. You can also visit irish-american.org for more information. But for tickets for this fest in particular, go to irishfestchicago.com. And for that summer camp we were talking about for music and arts with our friends Sean and Jesse, you can go to
irishmusicschool.org.
irishmusicschool.org. Now, my mom's from Mexico. My dad was second generation Irish, as Terry was sharing some of our family history, which it was just so cool to learn about, to think about, you know, your ancestors surviving something as hard and as grueling as the famine, and then to survive across the ocean to come to New York and then to Chicago. I want to thank you so much for doing that.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you. And now, did you grow up, Terry, because I had dinner at your house a few times.
Probably, yes.
Yes, I did. I don't know how anybody else was eating at other people's houses. I didn't really, I was always nervous and very self-conscious, and your family had, they had fried chicken. And so I was really nervous, your dad cut off a piece of chicken for me, and I had it on my plate, and I was starting to, like, I didn't know what to do, and I was looking around, and I was starting to cut the meat. Do you remember this?
No.
I was starting to cut the meat off the bone, and Mr. Kyle goes, I don't know what they do in your house, but around here we just pick up our chicken with our fingers and eat it.
Totally sounds like him.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I was just so nervous because I didn't want to. I'm like, I don't know what other people do.
That's hilarious.
I love it.
Yeah, your dad was really funny. And we used to do when we were talking earlier with Steve and Johnny. Johnny was talking about playing with Ouija boards.
Yeah, I was wondering if you're going to bring any of that up.
Now, did everyone's parents just think that I was, like, satanic and that I was like, come play with my Ouija board?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we had them, I think.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I wasn't allowed to play with them.
Nor was I. It was Catholic kids. Yeah, so I thought we were, like, my mom was like, no way.
Yeah, my mom was like, do not touch that.
Yeah.
Well, we would try to. Like, we tried doing light as a feather, stiff as a board.
We played that.
Yeah.
We did it on the cement.
Yeah.
Oh, did you really?
Yes.
Did it ever really work?
Yes. Well, her sister was really light. Terry was really light. We had some really small, like, you know, very lean.
We have to do a whole show on what we did at slumber parties.
Oh,
that would
as
be
teenagers.
I'm not saying frozen bras.
No. How about dip the hand in the water? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to make someone pee at a slumber party?
Is that what they did?
Yeah.
Why would you want to make something like that? Seems like a whole
short-lived
lot of
entertainment.
Because we were bratty girls, mean girls.
Thankfully, nobody ever did.
Are you looking in the mirror and what did you say?
Mary Worth.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I was telling this story not too long ago about sleepwalking. Was I on the air? I can't remember if I was. But do you remember when we went to a wall camp?
I remember wall camp.
And they told me because I'm a sleepwalker that I sleptwalked over to Mr. Kroll's. Do you remember this?
Wait, what's wall camp?
Wall camp is a Lutheran retreat for Lutheran schools, and it was really fun, actually.
It was a great time.
It was really, like, I remember they told us to bring water-resistant boots, but I brought, like, my winter boots, and we just put sandwich bags, like the bread bags in my boots, and that didn't do anything for it. Yes, apparently, do you remember Mr. Kroll?
I do. I don't remember him being with us, though.
But apparently, I walked over into the boys' barracks area and like flipped him off in my sleep.
Which, no. Oh yeah, she was sleepwalking.
I was sleepwalking in sixth grade. Yeah, likely.
Is that
story.
What you told Mr. Kroll? I was sleepwalking.
I didn't know about it. The other kids told me that I had done it. I had no idea. So I was going to ask though. I think I have a couple minutes. I wanted to ask about Irish food. Now, Andre, you pulled up pictures of corned beef that you made.
You know, it was the first time ever. Every year like I said, we grew up on the South Side. We go to Fox's or somewhere down on the South Side for St. Patrick's Day, and this is the first year I was telling Patty and you guys I decided to make corned beef and cabbage, and I got the recipe from Wendy Snyder.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but from Bill and Wendy, and it was a four-hour bake, basically. So you take the corned beef, you put the rub on, put it in the oven. But I took the carrots and the cabbage and basted them with butter and then added them. And the potatoes, of course, too.
That seems like a very key element to this.
I thought it was okay. I mean, it probably wasn't as authentic as something that, you know.
Terry says
but your dad
threw mine out.
Your dad would have told me, it's okay, eat it. It's good for you.
What are some of your favorite? Because I love bangers and mash. I love some eggs and some fried tomatoes. What are some of your favorites?
Fish and chips.
Yeah. It's got to be done right, though. Sometimes you go places, you're like, come on.
We have really great food at Irish Fest, American and Irish food. Yeah. We even have something called the Irish egg roll, and it really is good. I know that doesn't sound good.
It does sound good.
Oh, it is good. Yeah, it's really good.
What's in it?
Cabbage and
corned beef.
So yeah. Corned beef and cabbage and an egg roll. Yes. That sounds great.
It's really good.
Crunchy.
I think with a Thousand Island dressing. Is that the dip? Yes.
We also have a tea room. So if it's really hot outside, up on our second floor in the air conditioning, we have where you can go in and get tea and scones and a sandwich and listen to some live music.
One of my favorite breakfast foods in Ireland was the porridge. Or, you know, it looked like oatmeal, but it was like steel cut.
Yes.
Oh yeah. God. I make steel cut every week. You gotta make steel cut. You can use your crock pot to make steel cut. Yep. I use almond milk, and we'll do recipes.
It sounds awesome.
We'll sit back and relax and do some recipes. Terry, do you have any favorites?
My favorite is shepherd's pie. We went to Ireland for 2 weeks. I probably had it 12 of the 14
every
days.
Day.
Yeah. And that's another one, because if it's lamb, it's got to be done right, because lamb can be a little bit gamey. You know,
I've only had it with lamb a few times.
Yeah,
it's
like
always been very
beef.
Good.
Yeah. That's something I wish I could master. How about you guys, Sean? What's one of your favorites?
I would be partial to like the Irish breakfast.
With
the bangers and with the blood, with black pudding and white pudding.
You could say blood sausage. You didn't want to scare anybody, did you?
Yeah, no. Yeah,
the black puddings are
blood
sausage.
Sort of Irishy bacon. That's sort of not really like
more ham.
Ham.
Yeah. It's more like ham, sort of. It's like and like that. That would be my
Canadian
go-to.
And beans.
Probably fish and chips after that.
And beans.
And
it comes with beans.
And sometimes fried tomatoes and sometimes mushrooms.
Yes, yes, all of that. I'm getting so hungry right now. How about you, Jesse? You got any favorites?
I'm going to give a shout out to the fish and chips at the Heritage Center. I'm kind of a fish and chips snob.
Oh, I'm the same way.
Yeah,
as I was saying,
he
it's
got
to be done right. Yeah,
and he talks about these fish and chips are
Heritage
all the
Center
time.
Fish and chips, great.
Nice. I did want to mention. Like we have on Sunday, we actually have Irish breakfast. So we have a mass at 10:30 at the fest on the main stage with Father Scott Donahue from Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. And it's followed by a full Irish breakfast by Harrington's Deli. It's buffet style, but it is all a full Irish breakfast. So people can come the day of and just purchase that on site.
Oh, fantastic. Someone wrote Scottish eggs. I'm not sure that's Irish, but Scottish egg. Like, it's the ones that are marinated, right?
No, it's where you take... You take a hard-boiled egg and you encase it in, like, lamb, And then you bread that, and then you fry that, the whole thing.
Okay, that sounds amazing.
It's pretty good, yeah.
Oh, my God. When it's done right, it's great. Can you chef coming up with it? I'm going to take a hard-boiled egg, then I'm going to bread it, then I'm going to dip it in something else.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's got to have meat, too, though. So it's like, bread, like encased in like lamb, then breaded,
and that's
then
okay.
fried. Yeah.
It's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. Something's wrong if I don't do this.
Timeless, memorable music is back on the radio.
At 87.7 FM. You're
so great artists.
Great songs.
Great memories.
Right now on 87.7 FM.
I want to make it with you.
First on your dial.
At 87.7 FM.
MeTV FM.
This House Smarts Minute is brought to you by Architect Outdoor Living. Better building by design. Visit architectofchicagoland.com. Poorly insulated or installed windows can sap energy from your home and let in summer's delightful brood of insects. Check for any gaps between your windows and their casings and inspect your screens for holes. The price of new screens vary depending on the size of your window and your geographic area, but you can expect to spend between $5 and $15 per screen. And now this. Summer's finally here. Thinking about upgrading your backyard? Why wait any longer? Architect is the leader in creating outdoor living spaces for Chicagoland families. They design and build decks, paver patios, screen porches, sunrooms, pergolas, and more. Visit architectofchicagoland.com to find hundreds of photos and videos of the projects they've designed and built and the feedback from hundreds of happy clients, as well as their online reviews. They also have financing options as well. That's architectofchicagoland.com.
Consider it done with ABC. Our family's been available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for more than 65 years. ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Book your appointment today at 4abc.com and consider it done.
You know that happy feeling you get when you've been single for a while and then one day you meet someone new? Suddenly you're invincible. You wake up every morning with a big smile on your face and nothing gets you down because you've met someone. Hey, it's Kevin Powell here to tell you how to find that happy feeling again. It starts with a call to the professional matchmakers at It's Just Lunch. That's what I did. My favorite part about It's Just Lunch is they take care of all the details, time, date, location. They book it all. You just have to show up. They hand-select matches from their exclusive membership base and pre-screen those matches in advance. They even book your reservations at the best date spots in Chicago, and it's patio season. Time to get outside and enjoy summer. Turn to It's Just Lunch. Before you know it, you'll be face-to-face with someone who not only shares your interests and goals, but who gets you excited about dating. Time to find that happy feeling again. And I have great news. It's Just Lunch is celebrating their 27th anniversary this month. That's right, 27 years. So don't wait another day. Call or text 312-881-5225 or visit itsjustlunchchicago.com and ask about their special anniversary offer.
In case I forgot to mention it, the 1030 News, okay, it's not in case, I actually did. The 1030 News was sponsored by Mosquito Squad Chicago.com. That's right around there. Irish music, getting us in the mood for Irish Fest, which is just around the corner, July 6th, 7th, and 8th at the Irish American Heritage Center. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, and if you're following me on Facebook, you can find, at Patty V Show, you can find music, actually the Facebook Live video of Sean and Jesse playing just moments ago. They're going to play again in just a few seconds. By the way, the Cubs won and also lost today. What does that mean from the 847? Did they have a doubleheader? Did they really
have a doubleheader? Yeah, the
Cubs, yesterday's game was replayed.
We've also made some of our listeners hungry talking about Irish food. Yeah. One of our listeners says they're breaking into their Special K cereal to soothe that. One listener mentioned the Scottish eggs and then explained that they had them at the Rose and Crown Pub in Disney World, which you were just saying you just came back from there.
Yes.
I love Disney World. My children will never go to college, but that's okay. But no, we had a lot of fun. I love the Rose and Crown Pub.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, yeah. It was a lot of fun. So the Irish American Heritage Center is hosting once again. How many years in a row have you done Irish Fest?
This is our 33rd year.
33. Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Pretty soon I'll been to, well, I can't, I don't think I'll ever have been to half of them. But I'm close. I think we've been to 14 of them.
That's really great.
That's not too bad. Yeah, my sons love going there, and as do we, of course. And I love everything about it. I love the sense of community. I love the food, the conversation. You see everybody from the neighborhood. You see people. You catch up with people you haven't seen in a long time, like Terry and I. And so it's just a lot. It's a lot of fun. You got to go with me, Andrea.
I absolutely will. I love the Irish American Heritage Center.
And it is so beautiful.
It's wonderful.
Filled with history. And I still think you have such a cool job tracing people's their past.
So if you come, make sure you bring information on your grandparents.
Oh, I will.
Exactly. And you can also catch me, Joe Kilgallen, Adam Burke, and Alex.
Alex Joyce.
Alex Joyce. We'll all be performing stand-up comedy on Saturday night, July 7th, at the tent outside, around 9:30.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a lot of fun. The first year we tried doing it, there was a lot of pressure. They gave me the whole auditorium. And then they were like, maybe we should go with a tent, which worked out really well last year.
The one outside.
It was good.
I was like running around the grounds trying, like, somebody come inside and watch us do stand-up comedy. So this will be a lot of fun. Joining us in studio right now for some music are Sean and Jesse. Here they are with a little bit of music.
We're going to play a couple of reels now for you. The first was called The Ships Are Sailing, since we were talking about making that crossing
over Sean
from
and Jesse.
Ireland to the States. Ready? 2, 3, 4. Crowd is going crazy.
It's going nuts in the studio. I want to thank our guests again for sharing so much information and music and entertainment about the Irish Fest coming up at the Irish American Heritage Center on July 6th, 7th, and 8th. That's at 4626 North Knox Avenue, right here in Chicago, over by Dare. If you take the Kennedy, if you take the Kennedy, you just get off at Wilson. You're right there. It's at the top of the ramp.
Yes, and we have free parking, and then if that runs out, you can take shuttles back and forth from the Copernicus Center down the street.
Free parking.
Yes.
Okay, limited. Right there.
Yeah,
limited. But nonetheless,
Our partner at the Copernicus Center has loaned us their lot for the weekend, and you can take free shuttles back and forth all weekend.
Excellent.
Free? Wait. Okay.
Wait, what?
Yes. And you don't live that far away.
No, I know.
And anybody else that wants to come, it's also very close to the Metro line. It's very close to the Jefferson Park Depot. Mm-hmm. You know, what we did one year when we went, Elliot and I stopped at the Gale Street Inn for a primer. You have to lay a
primer.
We
have some ribs.
Yes, you gotta say hi to George Carr just when you're in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've been going to the Gale Street since we were kids. Was that someplace your parents went? Your dad never took you to the Gale Street?
I've been to Gale Street once, and it was in the burbs.
Really?
Get out. Oh, we've got to go.
It's my mom's favorite restaurant, too. She never took me either.
What is that about?
It was like Parents Night Out.
There you go.
They're great. Yeah. They're actually one of our sponsors this year. They're very generous.
They're great.
Yes. He sponsored our event at the Filament Theater for New Year's Eve. So they're very supportive about the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So I want to thank Terry for, again, really going into my family's past. And it's only because she knows me. She knows my real last name and all those things. And I want to thank, that was really sweet and touching to hear about my ancestors from Ireland. And people can get more information about, you have a class on Thursday night.
Yes, at irish-american.org.
irish-american.org, irishfestchicago.com for ticket information for Irish Fest. And thank you guys. Where can people find out about the summer camp for kids from August 6th through 10th?
irishmusicschool.org.
I thank you so much for all of that. I love how much the Irish American Heritage Center brings to life so much of the past and really brings together so much of the future. You have this incredible celebration there every single year, and obviously every week you guys always have something going on. So thank you for that.
We do. Thanks for having us out. We just think that Irish Fest is a really great way for people to come out and see, get a little taste of what we do all year long.
Yes. And show up all the time. It's just a wonderful place to hang out. Thank you so much, Kathy, for joining us again.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. Terry, Sean, thanks. Jesse, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, you guys.
Have a great night. More after this. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. I swear we'll figure out how to get Andrea on camera. Look, you're on camera now, right? Is that better?
Woohoo!
Look at that.
She's right. Officially on camera.
All right, well,
officially
there. We got it figured out. Thank you, Adam. We know that was you. More after this on 720 WGN. A listener from the 301 says, "You make me want to get up and dance." Go ahead, get up and dance. I know that was for the Irish music, our friends from the Irish American Heritage Center. They were a blast. I'm looking forward to performing with them again this year. We are hanging out in the Allstate Skyline Studio. This is the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And Andrea shared something with me before the show. We were going to talk about movies on Friday night. All of my friends have seen, they've seen
Heredity, yeah?
I don't know. Hereditary?
Hereditary, yes.
Oh, Hereditary.
I should probably go to the movies.
Heredity.
Me too.
Heredity, yes.
I'm embarrassed. It's been so long since I've been to the movies.
Well, that's what you were saying. So but everyone's seen Solo or Infinity War or... The Incredibles have come out. Incredibles 2 come out. There's a lot of movies out that my friends want to see. And you were saying you have not been to the movies. The last movie you saw in the theater.
The last movie I saw in the theater. And I used to go to the movie. Now, I used to go to the movies probably once every other week or at least once a month. Last movie I saw in the theater was Wonder Woman.
Wow.
Which was last August?
That has been.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's,
or July?
That sounds about right.
Oh my God.
Do you remember when Wonder Woman came out?
Oh, goodness.
It was last summer.
That summer, right?
Because we went to go see the matinee
we saw it the first day, too.
Yeah, I had to go see it then.
It was so cool. Up at Nick's movie theater, the Movie Co.
Yeah, that's where we saw it. It was very light. There weren't that many people in the theater. We went to like a 12:20, right, Ez?
Yeah, it was pretty early. Yeah, it was maybe 10 people.
I must have gone to like a 2 o'clock or a 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I had to see it.
So I was right after you guys.
I had to see it on the first. I didn't want to hear anyone talking about it. I wanted to see it first.
Wasn't it great? It was like one of the greatest movies I've ever seen.
So you haven't been, but you also have never been to the movies by yourself?
Okay.
Or once? Once, you said?
One time I've been to the movies alone. And it's not because, for a while it was, I didn't want to go alone or whatnot. But I had never gone to a movie alone until... Gone Girl.
Okay.
And the reason was I didn't have a lot of time before, just with working, the morning shift here on GN and then doing TV on the weekends at the TV station at GNTV. So I picked up a book and I thought, I'm going to read a book, just the solid, not in a Kindle, just read the paperback book of Gone Girl. So I'm reading. I loved it so much. The movie had just come out. I wanted to see what happened so bad. I got halfway through the book and I put it down and I said, I have to go to the movies and see what happens. Which defeated every purpose, right?
You were enjoying the book and you thought, since there's already an easier way to get this done, I'm going to go to the theater. Did you ever finish reading the book?
I went back afterwards and flipped through it.
Right.
But I liked the ending in the book. I know it's the same ending, but I liked the ending. The movie started out really, really strong, I thought, and then just got a little hokey and goofy, but I like the book version of the ending better.
Well, she's an excellent writer. Actually, her first book that I read before Gone Girl came out, I'm like, who is this person? She's from Chicago, too. The woman who wrote Gone Girl, she wrote a book called Sharp Objects that's coming out as an HBO movie as well.
Oh, really?
Yes. So I'm looking forward to that. As do you go to the movies by yourself?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mainly go up north at the 400 theaters.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
FYI, Tom Hush works there.
Yeah, so. I heard of him. He's worked there. Are you saying that there's a hookup there?
No.
Okay.
No.
There is a hookup, isn't there?
Saying a good coworker friend of ours works there.
He's also great with, like, telling you what movies to go see, what it's about, whether it's a new release or, you know, a lot of great classic movies. We actually are supposed to have him back on soon. I can't remember. People always ask me, like, in the hallway, hey, can I come on and talk about something? I'm like, yes. And then I forget until we talk about Tom Hush on the air. Okay, so you have only been to one movie by yourself.
One movie.
And it was
by
only
myself.
Because you couldn't finish the you didn't want to finish the book.
Right.
Or you did, but you want to know what happened.
Yeah, and I was a little weirded out only because I had never gone to the movies by myself, and I thought,
what do you think was going to happen when you went by yourself?
I thought people would laugh, or they'd go, oh, she's aww, by her, or feel bad. But then I saw it by myself, and there were about six other people all alone.
Yeah. Does that make you feel better or worse?
It made me feel so much better.
Okay. Yeah, and I've been going to the movies by myself since, partly because I go on the road.
Yeah.
And also there are movies that I like that my husband doesn't want to see.
Right.
So
right.
We have that. I don't know if it's just, I never thought about not going to the movies by myself.
I don't know. I just, it was weird. I'd never done it.
I think we should make her go to the movies by herself. Like, I don't like forcing you. Seems like it wouldn't be fun either, because you'd be like, I'm here because they made me come.
I know, and then I'd feel even weirder.
Yes.
Please talk to me.
See, but sometimes there's movies that, at least from what I've seen, nobody wants to see with me.
Right.
Or they don't want to see at all. So I was like, well, I'm going to go by myself. I want to go see it.
And okay, and you know what the last cartoon movie I saw was? Mm-hmm. I mean, because I know you have kids, so mm-hmm. you've taken your boys to see the movies. I think the last cartoon movie I saw, it was either Beauty and the Beast, the original back in like the 90s.
Holy cats.
Or Little Mermaid.
Really?
Yeah,
no interest in like...
Oh, no, wait. Toy Story, the original.
Okay, I was going to say.
No, Toy Story.
I don't know how you could... But so you didn't see any other Pixar movies?
Uh-uh.
How about on DVD?
With my god kids, I saw... what was the one recent... Boss Baby. Baby
oh, really?
Boss. Big Little Baby Boss.
Boss Baby Back. Baby Back Boss.
That
what?
Was the one. And you know what? I take it back. Frozen I saw on DVD with my goddaughter.
You sound like that was painful. I saw Frozen.
Well, at first I thought, oh God, here we go. And she was so cute. She was like two or three at the time going, let it go. And I was watching her watch the movie. It was so cute. I took a video and then ended up watching it. So
now, can you go out to eat alone?
No.
You don't like to eat alone?
I'd rather eat in my car.
Really?
Yeah, I'd rather pick something up and eat it in my car.
I don't think you're alone. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it says about somebody. You know, I just think that you are protective of yourself and how that feels to be out in public.
No, I'll go, I'll go to Starbucks or I'll go to a coffee place. Mm-hmm. I'm usually not alone, but if I go and, I sit at the Starbucks and have my coffee, but again, that's pretty rare. But I won't go into a like a fancy type restaurant and eat alone.
You know what you need to do though?
What?
If you're to eat alone, you sit at the bar.
Oh, yeah.
You
never feel alone.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like
right?
Sitting in a restaurant at a table by yourself, it's just kind of weird because then you're just staring at no one. But at a bar, there's people around you, there's the bartender. So it doesn't feel so, I guess, lonely. But you're still alone.
Do you guys want to go with me? I still can't bring myself to do it.
At different parts
exactly.
of the restaurant.
No, you guys would go. You and Patty would sit like at a table or whatnot just to see if I could do it.
Right.
And I'd be at the bar and I'd be looking over at you guys like, oh, please come hang with me.
I don't know what it is. I love eating alone. And I mean, like, I'll do both. I mean, I love being a big group of people.
Yeah.
But I also, I go out, like I was thinking about tonight before the show, I was thinking about going to grab something to eat by myself and grabbing, I like getting a table and just, I don't know. I've eaten at Howl's and Hood a ton by myself, mostly because Michael's like, no, I'm good. I don't need to go with you. Michael, do you eat by yourself at all? Do you ever go out to eat alone?
Yeah, especially when I'm out of town, I go out to eat a lot by myself. But, I mean, besides the classic Subway lonely guy eating a tuna sub on Oak Street, not really often, unless there's a place that I really want to try that nobody can come with me.
Right.
But I see no shame in it. Like, there is no problem with just going to a bar and just getting a couple apps and some zerts.
Oh my god! See, I would call someone who I haven't, some zerts.
Yeah,
desserts.
How many desserts are you eating?
Desserts. It doesn't matter. Don't judge me. Yeah, it's fine.
He wants to try different things.
I'm by myself at that point. It's no holds barred.
True. True. Oh, never thought to get multiple desserts.
Well, see, I would call someone who I haven't seen in ages rather than go eat alone and be like, "Oh, hey, we haven't gotten together."
That is the last thing I'd want to do.
And then the more I think about it, then I'm like, oh, then I got to make conversation and catch up on lives. And it's not that I don't care. I just don't care.
Right. Well, I'd say step out of your comfort zone. I mean, I don't know. You might not enjoy eating by yourself.
I would say try a place with a bar where you could eat at a bar.
Do you guys want to go with me?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Michael. We're going to get some zerts and apps.
I don't think you're getting the point of this. From the 301, I once went to the movies by myself and I was the only one there. It was like having a private screening. And now they can't even remember what the movie was. But and that's happened to my husband and me before where we've gone to the movies and no one else was there.
That's kind of cool.
And then you run up and down the aisles.
Woo-hoo. Yes, no. You're tempted to. Definitely tempted to. Our friend Paul, who was wondering if I was getting my emails, with your new show schedule, are you still able to attend some of Nick D's movie club features? Have you been?
No, I can go. I could never go because...
Only if the Sox are playing is the only way you can go.
Oh, shoot, that's right. I'm going to have to talk to our boss.
So, Paul, to answer your question, the only way we'll be able to go is if the Sox are playing a late game. If they're starting at 7, we can... I went last week.
Yeah, but then we'll have a late show.
Yeah, I'm saying if the Sox play on a Tuesday that Nick D is showing a movie.
That's a lot for one night, though. Isn't it? We got a movie and a show?
Yeah.
I have so changed. Maybe this shift will change me back, but I used to do something every night, and now I'm like, once a week. You know? If I had a dinner plan, I can't do two dinners in a row.
You mean two dinners back to back?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Like not a dinner on a Tuesday and a Wednesday.
Well, your assignment, I think that we should assign Andrea a time to go. And you need to think of something that goes outside of my comfort zone. I don't know. I have no shame, so it's hard to make me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Singing in public would be the thing I guess I would have to do. From the 312, I eat by myself all the time, bring a book, and get some reading done. I don't know if it, you know?
Okay, two things that are foreign, right? Eating alone and reading a book. I could read a magazine.
You just said you read Gone Girl.
I got halfway through Patty, and I had to go to the movie to see it. I just can't. It can't keep my attention.
We're learning about Andrea.
I know.
A little bit about me.
A little too much.
Someone wants to know if my name changed with comedy or radio. Actually, with comedy. I wanted people to know that I was Irish and Mexican. So the easiest way to do it was to be Patty Vasquez.
Should make a one-woman show out about that.
Yeah, Tequila and Shamrocks.
I know.
Done it. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. This is the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And I want to introduce you to our next guest, who is the former superintendent of the Chicago Police Department, now mayoral candidate. And I have to point something out. He and I have something in common. Wait for it. We both have a BA in history. And I was so excited when I saw that, sir. What?
Well, you know what? You need to know where you came from to know where you're going to go, right?
Right.
And that's very important in my life, I can tell you that.
And you've put it to such great use, too, right? Former Chicago Police Superintendent, talk show host, mayoral candidate.
Absolutely. I see the trajectory. How does one go from getting a history degree to deciding to join the police force when you're a young man at 22?
So here's what happened. My dad was a police officer. I grew up with unbelievable respect and admiration for my dad and being a police officer. Always wanted to do it. And the expectation was we were always going to do better. So I ended up going to college, playing baseball and football at University of Albany, and I wanted to go to law school, didn't have the money.
Me too.
Took the LSATs, did really well, could have gone to most law schools that I wanted to, didn't have the money, so I said, you know what, I'm going to do what I wanted to do, become a police officer, and then I'll get a scholarship to the police department. And the next thing I knew, I was a sergeant. After that, I was a lieutenant and a captain. And I actually went back to school and started my master's. I got a couple of A's, which was unusual. And then that was it. I was just too darn busy. And, you know, here I am. And I got a BA in history, and I'm a pretty good cop.
Do you still crack open some history books, maybe some biographies? What are you reading?
So the most recent book that I read historically that I loved was something called Rebel Yell about Stonewall Jackson.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. The other one that I loved was Devil in the White City.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I read history books all the time. And, good, bad, or indifferent, you have to get history to make sure that you don't repeat it.
Oh, absolutely. And I know that when you were chosen, named as the superintendent of the Chicago Police Department, there are a lot of people who said, we should always stick with somebody who knows the city, who grew up in Chicago. They know the dynamics of our streets and know the gangs and that kind of thing. How did you overcome those challenges to become pretty much the most recognizable cop, I think, in the country?
So the first thing is, A, I don't agree with that. I think a fresh set of eyes without coming through a culture kind of helps to figure out how to do things better. And honestly, that's what happened in New York over and over again. And the best example was when Bill Bratton became the police commissioner in New York City and totally revolutionized policing from being reactive to being proactive. And so that's the first thing. But the second thing is, I'm a police officer at heart. And one of my favorite things that I did as superintendent was to go on patrol with these amazing men and women on Friday or Saturday nights, virtually every week. And I could only do it when I was off duty because I was generally too busy to do it otherwise, and go out and do police work with them. And that translates. The NATO conference really went a long way towards showing people that, I'm all about leadership. I'm not a guy who stands on the sidelines and says, go do this. I'm a guy who says, come with me and let's get this done. And I think that translated to the Chicago Police Department to the point where, last night I went to the Cubs game that got rained out and I got dropped off on the wrong side of Wrigley Field. And it literally took me 40 minutes to walk around the stadium to get to where I wanted to go. Because I had to stop and talk to every police officer along the way.
I was going
to
say, it's not because you got lost. It's not because you got lost.
And by the way, not just the cops. I mean, it was also John Q. Citizen stopping me. And it's so gratifying to see that,
It's so ironic that you bring up NATO from 2013. I was looking at pictures today. Just for a completely different reason. I had covered NATO, and I remember you being out there right by McCormick Place, and there were just lines of bike officers and lines of foot patrol and TAC officers, and you're right there, right up against all of these protesters, too. So I guess my question is, why do you want to be mayor of Chicago?
So that's two different things.
Yeah.
As far as NATO is concerned,
yeah.
First of all, if I'm going to be accountable for what happens there, I'm going to be on the ground with the men and women doing their job and calling the shots. And they responded remarkably. It was one of the finest moments of my police career to be out there with those men and women and kind of set the gold standard for how to handle mass demonstrations in this country. So that's one answer to that question. Mm-hmm. But the second part is, I didn't choose this path. Other people came to me and started pushing me towards politics. And I need to say that I'm not a politician. I'm a public servant. And they are two different things. I have a 20-month-old son. I'm married to a young woman from here in Chicago. I'm not leaving the city, and I can't stand by and watch what's happening here. Whether it's the violence, the crime, the economy, the education system, you name it. We are failing in so many different regards that it was not a big push. Well, maybe a little bit. It was kind of a big push for these folks to get me to say, okay, let's go and do this. Because I get my juice out of doing the right thing and serving the public. And this is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to make a great American city great again. And what could be more gratifying than that?
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I've lived here my entire life, and I know when they appointed you, I'm like, this guy looks like he's run out of casting as a Chicago cop.
I
have to say, a lot of people would ask, as somebody who has spent their life as a public servant, as a first responder, and has led many men and women in uniform. Though, what qualifies you then? The desire is there, but what qualifies you to lead one of the most dynamic cities in the world?
So, first of all, I'm a manager, and I was trained in business management while I was with the NYPD. It was probably one of the most intelligent things that the NYPD has done, which is to train its managers in business management at Columbia University, a pretty good school. And I went through a course there while Bill Bratton was changing the way we did business, turning it into business management. So I was learning it while I was doing it. But then I spent a couple of years at the top of city government in three separate major cities in this country. New York, I was number three or four, depending on how you look at the organizational chart, for 7 years, 5 years in Newark, New Jersey with Cory Booker, and then 5 years here with Rahm Emanuel. I mean, I'm a manager. I know how to get things done. And one of the things that we need more than anything else here in Chicago is performance management government. Looking at government like a business, measuring inputs, setting up systems to measure outputs to get the things that we want. There's so many things that are broken here. There's so many things that can be fixed. And I just can't stand by and watch it.
Gary,
and that's the short story.
Speaking of management, what are your thoughts, I'm just curious, on Rahm Emanuel's COPA, the Civilian Office of Police Accountability? This is such a polarizing board, if you will. What are your thoughts on COPA? And if you're mayor, will you get rid of it?
So I don't know if I'm going to get rid of it. I'll figure out a way to make it work better. But here's the bottom line. You know, my situation, and Eddie Johnson is in the same exact situation today. My situation with the Laquan McDonald shooting was a classic case of I was accountable but did not have the authority to do the things that I needed to do. The police board, which is a civilian oversight committee, is the final determiner on serious discipline in the department. So I'm accountable for the behavior of the officers, but at the same time, I don't have the authority to do the things that I want to do as far as discipline is concerned. And then I'm not in charge of the use of force investigations. That's done by an outside agency. So here's the bottom line. You cannot hold the police superintendent accountable when you don't give that individual, whether it's a man or a woman, the authority to do what they need to do.
This sounds like an issue that's
a failed system.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and it seems like that's also true in our schools. I want to take a break here if we can, because there's obviously a lot going on in the city that needs a lot of attention and needs somebody who can really wrap their arms around it in a way that we seem to not be heading in the right direction right now, whether it's crime, education, taxes, our budget in Chicago. We are talking to mayoral candidate Gary McCarthy. He's also obviously the former superintendent of the Chicago Police Department. Do you mind holding on for another segment, sir?
Not in the least.
I appreciate that. More on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis in a moment on 720 WGN. As we continue on the week of the first broadcast of the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, we are introducing her to our regular segments and regular guests. Andrea, I have a feeling that you like classic television.
Oh, I do. I was singing along to the Jeffersons. Remember Wheezy? And who was the maid? Florence.
Florence.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I don't know if it was Florence. I don't know if that was the maid. I don't know. I'll go with it.
Yeah, let's go with Florence. I cannot recall.
Quiz. Come on.
Yeah. No, that's not on my quiz.
You watched the Jeffersons?
I watched the Jeffersons. I just can't remember their names.
Wheezy. Oh, God. I think the maid was Florence.
I believe
Housekeeper,
you.
Sorry. Housekeeper. Sorry.
It's all good. Well, John Tatey joined us in studio, and he often brings us incredible TV trivia. He's actually a game show savant, but we don't force him to display that talent.
You used to.
Remember, I used to play the theme songs from the booth, and well, I'd have to guess the show.
Yes, well, Michael will do that once in a while to you as well, just to test you to see what what skills you have.
Oh, I like the light up. This is my first time with the new digs. I like the light up microphone. Does my microphone light up?
No, your microphone.
Oh,
is
only yours.
Just mine.
Oh, yeah.
And this means that any microphone is on. It doesn't just mean that my microphone is on. It means that any one of them could be.
It's cool, nonetheless.
And we found the color wheel tonight. Remember, Patty?
Yes, on the lights, but it doesn't really do anything. You mean that one?
Yeah, the color wheel, the lights yesterday were very fluorescent, and today they're more of a yellow hue.
It's more of a surface of the sun vibe in here right now. It is very bright.
Well, it seems as though we should be able to change the light's hue, make them purples and pinks and blues and yellows. But our engineer suspects that we have been blocked from that capability because they're worried that we will mess up the station.
No, not us. You and I, Patty and I were saying, where's the pink? Let's try and find the purple.
Yeah, everyone, a little magenta in here.
Everyone looks good with a little bit of jewel tones. Yeah. I think. That's all I'm saying. So John Tatey has for us a TV trivia for us to be able to give away a gift card to Apt Electronics. How many contestants do you need for this contest?
Patty, as ever, I could use two contestants whose knowledge of TV history will dazzle us all. Tonight I've got a quiz that is, this is one of my favorites. I've done this a couple times before. It's Know Your TV Theme Songs. Okay, so Andrea dancing to the Jefferson's theme song. This is right up your alley. You maybe I'll allow you to steal if our contestants fall down.
Oh, excellent.
But I'm looking for some TV history experts to call in. We need two contestants, and you said we're playing for the Apt gift card?
The Apt gift card, in fact.
My favorite prize.
Now, my question is, how are you going to sing the lyrics?
That's what makes it tough.
Yes.
A lot of these would be much easier if I sang them, but I'm just going to read you part of the lyrics.
You're going to read the lyrics.
And you're going to have to find the tune in your head, yeah.
Okay.
This is great. I'm so excited.
I don't think I'll be able to do this one. I can't hear.
Really?
I don't know.
We didn't do anything like this on the morning show. Fantastic.
Oh, I like to hear that.
It's
to hear that.
Yes.
Yeah. They would never book me in the mornings.
Yeah. As the week goes on, they might book you in the morning.
Oh, I'm just teasing.
I know people. Uh-huh. 312-981-7200 if you want to be a contestant in TV theme song history. Would you like to is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, sure.
What do you need a pen?
I would love can I have a caller screen?
A caller screen?
Because I forget the names.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I rely on that screen.
You're so used to sitting in the side. I don't know if you can see from there. Can you see that from there?
No. Okay, I'll write it down. I can write it down.
Do you want a pen? Here.
Yes.
Ready?
We're going to start throwing things at you. Does that work for you? Is that a problem?
Pen's courtesy of our friends at Jewel Osco, who we're partnering with for the Pride Parade.
Excellent.
Give them a plug.
Feel like I'm peeling back the curtain here, but yes, I do stare at this screen usually to remember your names, callers, even though I'm paying attention to you and love you.
I have no way to share the call screen with you right now.
Okay.
Sorry, but you can run around and look over Andrea's shoulder.
Yeah, you can come over here if you want.
The first one is going to be, I believe that was Gary on hold for playing. Gary, are you calling to play TV trivia tonight?
Yeah, I've never won yet, so let's give it another try. But if I have to go through my head, there's nothing in it.
Now, Gary, here's the thing.
Yeah.
How well do you know, what song did we play to begin the segment? What theme song were we playing?
Oh, Good Times, right?
Oh, geez, Gary.
No,
Gary. All right, Gary, we're going to do this, and
I love that.
Did I get buzzed already?
Sorry, Gary.
I was just trying to vet you. I was trying to see how well you knew theme songs, but we're going to keep you on because you keep trying. I love your go-get-em spirit.
Yeah.
All right, Gary, hold on. You're going to face off with Lance. Lance, how confident are you in your theme song history knowledge?
I feel good, Patty.
Okay. I hear a lot of
Lance,
enthusiasm.
Where are you calling from? Are you calling from one of the suburbs?
Chicago, the city.
Chicago. Oh, I always like to ask about the suburbs, but I know Chicago. I'm familiar with it.
Okay. I feel like I need the neighborhood for some reason.
Yeah, what's the neighborhood?
Yeah.
Bridgeport.
All right.
Bridgeport.
Oh, okay, cool. Southside?
Got a lot of Southsiders listening.
Represent.
Nice. Andrea's bringing the Southside with her.
Bringing the Southside with her.
Love it, love it.
Yep.
Where should I go in Bridgeport, Lance?
There's actually a new brick oven pizza place right by the park. It's really good.
Okay, thanks.
Yep. Are you close to that? There's a donut place. Front Room Donuts are really good.
Pizza and donuts. I'm going to make a day of it.
Okay, one more. Nana's, right?
Nana's.
Is Nana still there?
Nana's is very good.
Totally high end. Good food.
There we go.
Okay.
Got your Bridgeport covered. All right, here we go. All right. So you go ahead and set the parameters. How do you want Lance and Gary to respond?
Fellas, this is pretty simple. I'm going to go to you one by one, and I'm just going to give you a quote from the lyrics of a theme song of a TV show. I'll also give you the decade of the show, or whenever most of it took place, let's say. Okay, so I'll read the theme song. I'm not going to sing it for you, and you tell me the show. Gary, we're going to start with you. Would you like 70s or 90s?
70s.
Okay. What show is this? Come and knock on our door. We've been waiting for you. Okay. Gary, I need an answer. It is live radio.
Can I steal? Okay.
Can I steal? Oh, I've been waiting for you. I'm going to say that's Good Times.
Okay, that seems to be your guess tonight, Gary. You keep trying with that Good Times. It is not Good Times yet.
It's not.
Nope, sorry. All right, Lance, do you want to steal?
I do.
What's your answer?
It's Three's Company.
Yes, sir.
Come and knock on my door.
Come and knock on our door. We've been waiting for you. Patty, yes. Very good.
Three's Company, too.
This is enhancing the quiz. Oh, I like this new setup. Excellent. Okay, yes, it is Three's Company. That's 1 point then for Lance. And Lance, and this is your question. It concerns, these are all sitcoms, I believe, on my list here tonight. Yeah, all sitcoms. This is a sitcom from the 90s. In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground is where I spent most of my days.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yes, sir. It is the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh.
I like the harp.
Isn't that pretty?
I really feel like I'm in show up for the harp every time. Nice. Okay.
Someone needs to sing that.
Okay. Who wants to sing that here? I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. I do not rap on the radio.
Yeah.
No, I can't. Do it.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll all use our imagination, exactly. And you can look it up on YouTube. But it is Lance 2, Gary Nothing, as we go to the next round. Now, it's going to get a little harder, fellas. Those two were layups. It's getting a little trickier. Gary, you're going to have to dig deep here, buddy, all right? But we're going to start with Lance. Lance, you get your choice of 70s or 80s in this round.
I'll take 70s.
70s. Okay, here we go. Give us any chance, we'll take it. Give us any rule, we'll break it. We're going to make our dreams come true, doing it our way.
Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, Lance, yes. You are on fire. Good job.
And always.
Love
come
it.
On, Patty.
Yes.
Shamil. I'm sorry.
Yes. Oh, I almost used that part of it, too. I was tempted to use that quote from it instead. It is Laverne and Shirley. Okay, Gary, we need you to make a bid here. Your category is 80s. It's a sitcom from the 80s.
Oh, I love the 80s.
Here we go. There's a time for love and a time for living. You take a chance and face the wind. There's a time for love. I almost feel like the Think music is cruel.
Yeah.
There's a time for...
No, play it. It's good. Mess with your mind.
There's a time for love and a time for living. You take a chance and face the wind. I must ask for an answer, Gary. It is a tough one.
One day at a time.
Good guess.
A really good guess.
It was Who's the Boss? Oh, I should have let Lance steal.
Oh, you were so excited to share it with us.
I was so excited to tell you it was Who's the Boss. Plus, Lance has more points than he knows what to do with, so he'll be fine. Okay, yes, it was Who's the Boss? Tony Danza?
Yeah, Alyssa Milano.
Alyssa Milano, that's right.
Yeah, and Judith Light. Judith Light was in everything. Every Lifetime movie on the planet.
Yes.
She was.
She still is. Every once in a while, she shows up in something.
Right? And, she just was on The Good Fight. Oh, tie it back into The Good Wife, Patty.
Oh.
Gotta binge it.
And Melissa Milano was doing striptease.
Wow.
Yeah. All I heard was striptease. Right.
Hello.
Okay. We're going to move right on to round three. Patty, do we have time for one more round?
We do have time for one more round.
Okay, absolutely. Excellent.
Yes.
Gary, we're going to start with you in our final round here. Your choice is between the 60s and the 2000s. That's 2000 to 2009.
60s.
Okay. Dobie wants a little cutie. Dobie wants a little beauty. Dobie want a gal to call his own.
Come on, Gary. It's right
the
there.
Dobie Diller Show.
Do you know what it was called, Gary?
If you tell me, can I get a lifeline?
Okay. You know what, Gary? I'm going to give it to you.
Oh, yeah. Good, because I didn't know. Yeah.
Do you know, Patty?
No, I don't know.
But you knew it was Dobie Gillis, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis, it was called.
Oh, The Many Loves.
Yep.
Wow.
Maynard G. Krebs was the breakout character on that show, played by...
Bob Denver.
Bob Denver.
Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's
Island.
Yep. You got it, Gary.
What?
Yeah.
Patty, throwing down tonight.
Totally throwing
sure.
down.
Sure. I'll give you
an extra point for Dobie Gillis and Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, I'll give you 2 points, Gary. It's really not going to hurt anybody here.
Yeah, because I can't win anyway.
That's right. So we're going to give you an extra point. That makes it a tight game going into our final question, which is to you, Lance, in the category of sitcoms of the 2000s.
I'm trying to answer this one.
Wow, look at him. Okay. He's willing to tie it up.
But no, that's the most I could do anyway. So then, no, I don't want to. No charity.
Okay.
No charity. There's
a lot of chivalry happening here. A lot of good sportsmanship.
I think Lance, though. Thank you for the thought.
Yeah, that's very...
Okay, I tried.
Yeah.
All right, enough of the love fest.
It's all love and sunshine here. This question is to you, Lance. Sitcoms of the 2000s. Here's the quote from the theme song. You're not the boss of me now. You're not the boss of me now. You're not the boss of me now. And you're not so big.
I honestly don't know. I couldn't even guess.
Patty, do you know? You're not the boss of me now. You're not the boss of me now. You're not the boss of me now. And you're not so big. Oh, I thought you would know this one.
Lucky Brewster.
Gary, you got a guess?
And that's a comedy?
Yep.
Situation comedy?
From the 2000s, yes. Fox, in fact. I'll give you the network. Frankie Muniz was the star.
Oh, I know this. I know what it is. I did not watch that
show. Go ahead.
Malcolm in the Middle.
Mm-hmm. Malcolm in the Middle is correct. Nobody got that one.
That's
I was
okay. going to
go with Good Times.
Good Times.
I'm going to mix Good Times into every TV quiz from now on.
Maybe you should. Well, Gary, I've got good news for you because I do have a runners-up prize for you. You keep trying. We love hearing from you. But we've got a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. Yes?
Oh, yeah.
Daddy.
Yes?
Daddy, you already sent me one. Thank you. But you can give that to some charity.
We will give it to the next worthy
contestant. I thought you said no charity, Gary. Make up your mind.
You also said you never win anything, Gary.
Give it to Lance.
Yes. One of the questions that my
give it to Lance.
All right. No, Lance gets the apt gift card, pleasing people since 1936. You got to visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com. And don't forget to say hi to our good friend Steve Shapiro, who we adore. So congratulations.
You are the best, Eddie. You are the best.
Thank you, Lance. I appreciate that.
You're the best tonight, Lance. You're the big winner. Thanks for playing.
By the way, you're the best also brings us back to what? Cobra Kai. More after this on 720 WGN. A little Andy Griffith for you. A little bit of that.
It was a jazzy Andy Griffith.
Yeah,
a big band rendition of it.
I kind of love that. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Joining us in studio is John Tatey. It's TV Trivia with Tatey. And sorry, Carol and Glenn, we're out of questions, but I do have. I have a question. Did you have backup questions?
You know, I had a tiebreaker question that I was going to use in case of a tie. We could play a quick
speed round. Yeah. All right, Carol. Carol, you're on the spot. Glenn, hold on. In case Carol can't get this one, Glenn will win the prize.
This is for both Carol and Glenn. Let's bring them both in.
You'll win the desktop weather station that Gary has given over to us.
He's relinquished his prize.
That's right.
Oh, we're listening. It's Carol?
Carol.
And Glenn. Okay.
Yeah.
Carol, this was going to be the tiebreaker question. Instead, it's your one lightning round question. It's do or die here. We're going to see who can be closer here. How many episodes of Malcolm in the Middle were there? Our last question was about Malcolm in the Middle and the theme song quiz. How many episodes were made? The show premiered in 2000 on Fox. How many episodes would you guess there were of that particular program?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm just going to have to take a guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say 70.
Ooh. 70. Okay, Glenn?
Stand by. Let me get Glenn on the air. Glenn, what's your guess? Did you hear the question?
I'm going to guess 1,000. No, 86.
Ooh. 86. Okay. The correct answer is 151. So that means that Glenn, who I believe went high, is our big winner. What does he win? Does
he wins an indoor desktop weather station from the American Weather. Yeah, I know. Are you excited about that, Glenn? You know you're excited about it. You want to know about the weather.
I'm excited about it. I've been wanting it. That's the only reason I listen to the radio, so I get one of those things.
Exactly.
How else are you going to know if it's raining outside, Glenn?
Or
that's
inside,
it's good for you.
All I have to do is roll down the window.
Your desktop indoor weather station is brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling. The 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. Thank you so much, Glenn. Congratulations on that. And Carol, next time, John will be in next week for more TV trivia.
Yeah. Yes. Call in next time.
Now,
there's always more TV to trivialize.
Always. Now, we've been talking about TV shows, and now...
Well, you've been talking about one TV show.
Oh, Andrea likes Game of Thrones, which I have never... You are also a fan, by the way. Oh,
yes. I love Game of Thrones. Yes.
Okay, so now I'll have someone to talk to when the last season starts.
Because my eyes always roll in the back of my head.
You know, I used to be one. I used to be like you. I really did. And then a friend of mine said, you have to watch just an episode. And I didn't really like the first one too much, but I got so hooked. I probably watched all 7 seasons in 2 months.
Oh, wow.
A month or so.
That's a lot of medieval mayhem.
I know.
And the
I know.
Franchise is incredible because, like, I went shopping for Father's Day gifts, and my husband used to be, like, a role-playing kind of guy, like D&D games and Baldur's Gate and things like that. And the entire gaming section is all, like, Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I need to find something that's – because he doesn't like the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had to go through. And I found him – I found a Sherlock Holmes sort of role-playing game and also an original Baldur's Gate.
Sherlock Holmes, that sounds fun.
It does sound fun. I was reading the reviews. People seem to like it.
Are you going to play it?
Yeah. That's why I bought it for him. It was for us to have like a game night.
Well, you know I love games, but I do have a quick TV recommendation. No
Excellent.
Game recommendation, but TV. Can I squeak it in before the news break? It's The Gong Show. The second season returns tomorrow at 7 Central. What?
Is it still Mike Myers?
It's Mike Myers,
oh, it is Mike.
As Tommy Maitland, the sort of aging British host character that
right.
Mike plays on this show. It sounds like a very weird concept. I know if you haven't seen it, it just sounds like I'm bonkers, but The Gong Show is a bonkers tradition, and they made some weird decisions with this one. One of them is Mike Myers playing this British character and not acknowledging that he is Mike Myers. Will Arnett of Arrested Development fame, executive producers, and is also on the panel quite a bit. They usually have great celebrity panels. I just think it's a really nicely produced show. It's prime time on a network, so it's not going to have the sort of cheap rundown feel of the Chuck Barris original, which can't really be replicated, I think, 40 years later. That's a very 70s TV, daytime TV show. But prime time in 2018, they do it in a way that makes sense. Yes, the stage is beautiful. The lighting is beautiful. It's a grand stage, but it's so goofy and Mike Myers is so weird that you just cannot believe this is on TV. And that's the feeling you should have when you're watching The Gong Show. A series of weird variety acts. If you don't know the show, they come on and try not to get gonged and try to get a good score from the three celebrity judges.
The only reason I even know the show exists is because you're telling me. They're not
I completely
doing much marketing.
Agree.
Yeah.
Never seen it.
Like, even when I'm on Facebook or other social media, you scroll through, you'll see a clip of, America's Got Talent or whatever it is. I have not heard anything about The Gong Show.
I'm not surprised to hear
that.
And I don't know why, but I'm actually heartened to hear you say that because I thought I was missing something.
No,
this is a wonderful show. Look, it's a little raunchy sometimes, but you can watch it with your kids. It's on at 7 p.m., right? So on ABC, so it's pretty safe.
Or is it tawdry or is it naughty?
Maybe tawdry and sometimes a little naughty, let's okay. say. Raunchy is too strong.
Yeah, raunchy is like more like Eddie Murphy's Delirious, I think.
Okay.
Raunchy. I don't know why I went that far back.
I'll sign
That's
on
how far back I gotta
wow.
go. I gotta go that far back.
No, what was the first word you used?
Because I was a kid. Raunchy, tawdry, or
tawdry.
Naughty.
Tawdry, yeah, I like that.
Tawdry. You know who uses that word to describe naughty material is Larry Miller, the character actor who you've seen in a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why people tell you there's anything wrong with your material. You're not tawdry at all. And I'm like, can I frame that from Larry Miller? I am not tawdry.
Not tawdry.
Not tawdry. As approved by Larry Miller.
Aww.
Yeah. So,
Patty, it's 12:30. I
know you gotta go. Will you be able to find your car?
Well, that's why I mean, the listeners don't know, but I'm usually not here this late, but I screwed up and was late today because I couldn't find a place to put my car, these new digs.
This is very complicated for a lot
I'm
of people.
I'm halfway into a taxi stand right now. I just hope my car's going to be there when I'm down there.
Put your hazard on.
Yeah. For an hour,
That's all you have to do.
Catch more TV trivia with Tati next Tuesday night. TV trivia with Tati on Tuesdays.
Oof.
I think that all
practice works. That over the next week.
All right.
I don't know if I can say that.
I only did it once. TV trivia with Tati on Tuesdays. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Patty.
Tonight. We'll see you next week. Time now for a quick break. And then news with Andre Darles. For decades, we've all gotten used to all the perks that come with your loyalty programs with your credit cards. And I just found out that a lot of credit card companies are ending some of their perks. Do you use American Airlines or Delta?
I do.
Or any of the-
I do. I have a credit card. I have two, actually, a MasterCard and a Visa. And one is American and the other Southwest. And I'm trying to use up the American because I just want to use the Southwest card.
Okay.
So I have air miles for both.
Well, let me see, because some of them they're ending some of their perks. And I always pay attention to these articles because I have a lot of miles with United.
Okay.
Which I know a lot of people in the last couple of years, they've had a tough time between dragging passengers out of the plane and perhaps a pooch in storage compartment. There are some credit card companies that are going to be ending, especially if it's something that they don't feel their customers are taking advantage of very much.
Mm-hmm.
They're weaning those programs out. And then I'm like, well, maybe I should have used those. Well, things like when you have, there's benefits like price matching, right? Price protection. So like if you find something at a lower price, Chase will no longer have price protection on all their branded cards. But I mean, how many people ever took advantage of that? Did you ever? Because
I've never done that. I've seen the emails like, hey, if you bought this, jean jacket or whatever it is, we can find it at a lower price for you.
Right.
Just click here. And I never want to click there.
I just don't go through it's kind of like getting it when you send in for rebates.
Oh, yeah.
You have to go through the rigmarole of that. So I just never get around to like checking to see if the price ever dropped. So price protection is going away from all the Chase branded cards.
Okay. Oh.
I know. Return protection will no longer be offered for Chase Freedom, Freedom Unlimited, their Sapphire cards. These are a lot of things. How about lost luggage reimbursement and travel accident insurance, which came with a lot of the Chase cards?
See, that I think that should be provided. Because if they lose your luggage, I know it's like anything, well, we don't assume responsibility, but you lose someone's luggage?
Right.
That's on you.
Well, it should be on the airline. And
what I mean. No, that's what I mean. It's on the airline, not you as a person.
Not the card either. I mean, I don't know about the card. I loved that. I loved knowing that was there.
Yeah.
I did. My luggage was lost in Los Angeles. And you know how much they give you? They give you a per diem of like $25.
Do they really?
Yeah. It was $25. And I think they have like a maximum of a certain number of days where your bag is not returned to you.
Yeah.
Generally, they will take the luggage to your hotel or wherever you're staying.
Okay.
When they do find it. But I mean, for $25 a day, I was like, I can't buy that much clothing. So I know I only check bags of things that I don't mind if I lose them and or don't need them during that. Like if they're just kind of extraneous, like maybe that extra pair of shoes that I really didn't need.
Right.
Never my jewelry. Never the makeup I want to use.
Never good jewelry.
Never.
Absolutely. And I always overpack.
Me too.
Awfully.
How much did you pack for Greece?
Oh my God, Patty, it was so bad. I bought new luggage because I thought I'm going to bring, it's beautiful in Greece. So you have shorts, a couple different pairs of shoes.
Is it ever not beautiful in Greece? Is it just like always beautiful?
I asked that. Somebody asked me that today. I think Adam was just asking me if it ever gets cold there, and it gets to be 50-ish in the wintertime. Sometimes it snows. More often than that, though, it doesn't. So I packed because I thought, I'll be on the islands. It'll be cool at night. I packed two pairs of white jeans and kind of a flowing, cargo pant type, pair of pants. So three pairs of pants and two skirts and a dress. Didn't wear any of it. Did shorts the whole time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And just completely overpacked. But you talk about lost luggage. This is funny. A friend of mine in college was going to see this guy. They had just started dating, and he had graduated, so he had a job in a very small town outside of Atlanta. They lost her luggage going there, and they had just started dating. So she had nice lingerie and cute little dresses and things she was going to wear. They lost it. They gave her the per diem, and the only thing around his town was a Walmart. Oh, no. And not that there's anything that's right. totally fine.
But what she had in mind.
But not a super Walmart. It was just very small. She's like, you know, humiliating. I'm buying like Walmart underwear and things like that.
Oh, she wanted to be fancy.
Little
for her
toiletries.
First.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I know.
Oh, but, that's not easy when you lose your suitcase.
I know. Do you overpack?
I always overpack.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be better about it. I think I told you about stalking my son's field trip to D.C.
Yes.
I did it all with a backpack.
Did you really?
Yeah. Did the whole thing with a backpack. I've never traveled like that before because I had to be stealthy and quick and on the run. I was stalking my son's trip.
Oh, I'm sure he was so happy with that.
Oh, he didn't mind. Because I found things in the Smithsonian. Like, I was like, hey, did you see this exhibit? He's like, where is that? So he was very cool about it.
At what point did you tell him you were stalking him?
Oh, he knew like a couple months when I got the idea. Okay, here's what happened.
Okay.
I have been chaperoning every single one of Griffin and Declan's field trips since they were 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I waited a little too long to volunteer for the DC trip.
Yeah.
And they said, no, we don't need you. And I was like, excuse me. And I kind of took it as a, perhaps it was, I took it a little more personally. I know it was not, but I got this idea of how much fun that would be to just stalk his trip.
Oh my God. And
it was a blast.
How many days were you there?
I was there for 3 days. And I have a friend who works for the State Department. So she was actually involved in making the plans for the North Korea trip.
Wow.
And the meeting. I mean, the trip to Singapore. So I was getting a little bit of kind of some inside scoop on that.
Yeah.
And also hanging out with her. Her family lives in Chicago. She's busy all the time. So it was partly to see what Griffin was experiencing in D.C. and also to see my friend.
So. I can't believe you packed all the 3 days worth of clothes into a backpack.
Into a backpack. And not even, just a computer bag. Esmeralda inspired me when she traveled to Ireland and Iceland.
Backpacking?
I take a backpack. I wasn't about to pay those fees.
Okay, I always hear these stories because mm-hmm. I love to travel and used to travel a ton. And people would say, I backpacked through Europe. And I had a college roommate who did that too, a different one. She went through Hungary. And I'm like, how on earth do you fit everything in a backpack?
Well, I only went a week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I had a backpack.
Mm-hmm. I went for 3 days and I just took a backpack.
Okay. How many pairs of shoes?
The pair I was wearing plus a pair.
Yeah, I had two.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm impressed. I'm so proud of you.
I've never done that before. I was inspired by Ez.
Yeah, I wasn't. The flights I took were they would charge you for a carry-on, so I wasn't about to pay for that.
Is that like a Spirit kind of airline?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Here's a trick. Maybe I shouldn't give this away, but you can refuse to give your bag if there's medicine, or if you say my medicine is in here, I need the bag,
mm-hmm.
or a medical device.
If they force you to check it, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. You can say my medicine's in here, or like an inhaler, even mm-hmm. anything like that. You can say, I need this with me. You know, I have medical equipment or medical devices in here. They might ask to see it, but...
So this is when they've run out of room in the overhead, is what you're saying?
Yeah, if there's a... Yeah. if it's a low-cost airline.
I could see... I mean, I've pared it down to where I am okay. The ultimate necessities are always in the backpack, which never get taken away, right? Anything that goes in the overhead, anything that can be checked, yeah, I don't, I'm willing to part ways with it.
And you guys sprung for hotel rooms, right?
For me, for Griffin's trip?
Yeah, for the stalking trip.
I got an Airbnb, and it was like basically someone's garden apartment. It was really nice.
But you still had like a shower and...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. It was, you're thinking I can't backpack with a shower?
Here's what I'm thinking. No. I'm thinking, okay, the toiletries, the little plastic bag. All right, so you need, shampoo, conditioner... Brush, toothbrush.
Uh-huh. Well, you can only take 4 ounces. Mm-hmm. So,
is it 4 ounces total?
Well, 4 ounces each little container.
Yeah, and again, I'm still amazed.
I had 3 ounces, isn't it?
3 to 4.
3 to 4.
Not sure.
Three-ish.
Like 3 point something.
I'm still amazed that you guys got everything in the backpack.
Anything that fits in a Ziploc bag, you have to. All your liquids have to be in a Ziploc bag.
Yeah,
3.4 ounces.
3.4. You can see how we combined those to the 3.4.
How do you bring hairspray?
You buy it at the wherever
you guys.
You're going.
I just this is so foreign to me.
Buy it where you go.
If
you need it, they'll have it there.
Stop at the Walmart.
And how much hair sell? They do sell little ones.
Oh yeah, the mini ones.
Yeah,
I do. Yeah, I use it to. I've been wearing my hair back lately, so
I teach you how to braid your hair.
Oh yeah,
it's so easy.
Braiding
is like my.
You guys are going to teach me so much.
Eating by yourself, backpacking,
going to a movie alone,
going to a movie alone. These are see now
it's eating, a whole new world after 6 a.m.
I would put eating alone as I think a higher priority than going to the movies alone. I can see not because you know a lot of people like to have a shared experience. You saw a movie with somebody, but eating alone, there's something I don't know. There's just something kind of independent about it.
Do you ever want to just lean over and start talking to people?
No.
You just want your alone time.
I love eating alone. And when they ask me if I want to sit at the bar, I'm like, no, that's why I'm alone.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit with
don't
other people.
Don't talk to me.
It's not that. It's just that I don't know. I'm just, I enjoy eating by myself and having a book or, you know, getting messages done, getting some work done. Yeah.
Again, I'm going to do this. This is my goal. Will you guys come with?
Wait, when are you going to do it?
Yes. We will stalk you.
You guys are going to, yeah.
I got to stalk somebody.
You have your backpacks. Yes. You're gonna be like, there she is at the bar.
Yeah, we can do that. We will observe you from afar.
All right, I'll figure out a day. How can I tell you like a range? Like it'll be sometime between Friday and Sunday.
Okay. And we just have to keep showing up at the same place?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you when it's going to be.
We'll go in shifts.
Yes, yeah. I like that.
You can be tag team.
This works out very well. Michael, are we all up? We need you in the rotation to take one of the shifts.
To stalk me eating alone.
Oh, it was
to make
say,
sure
yeah.
she's eating alone.
Yeah, thanks for including me. I'm in. I'll teach you how to backpack.
But now, if I see you guys, can I talk to you?
That's where we need to draw the line.
Yeah, we have to draw the line.
Sorry, it's just you had us on board. No, I think this would be a fun experiment. You know, just seeing diving into the city and how long can you take to be on your own? Like, remember that What Would You Do with John Quinones? We should just like have secret cameras and stuff.
Mm-hmm. What would Andrea do alone?
What would Andrea do alone?
But I still would want to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. See, but at a bar, sometimes you can.
Yeah, you can talk to strangers. That's fine.
I've talked to the bartender.
Absolutely.
Order my food.
Bartenders are the best. They have a lot of great stories.
Yes. They get paid to stand there and listen to you.
Exactly.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in.
All right.
Okay, now I'm excited about it.
Eat at the bar alone. Start there. I think Ez is absolutely right about that. And then go to the movies alone.
All right, don't push it.
And that's it. we'll come up with other goals. Other goals. Let's take a quick break here. 312-981-7200. Tell me something good. What's making you happy tonight? What's making you smile? More after this on 720 WGN.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me. Yeah.
You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. My something good is that I got to go out to lunch with my mom today. We had a lovely afternoon, and I showed her around the brand new WGN radio offices and studios. And I think she was pleased. We're not quite yet over the heartbreak of leaving the Tribune Towers, but the Tribune Towers is. I went back there last night, Michael, to grab a few more things. I think I have to go tonight. We need some garbage cans, some power strips,
and you're funny. And you made a list.
Yes, I did.
That was hilarious.
I have a list. It says a chair. Marlene has told me not to ask for anything else for the rest of the year. Marlene takes care of all of our.
But you were so sweet because we have a little office, and there's a little tiny file. It's a really like a miniature file drawer.
Yes.
And you said, "Oh, can we?" And they're small, so you're not asking for like giant file cabinets. And you said, "Oh, can you get Michael and Andrea, you know, little
file cabinets,
please,
maybe?"
And she's like, Don't ask.
She goes, wait till 2019, Michael. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that was our answer.
You don't get drawers until next year.
Hey, you know, I'm just happy to be here.
As we all are.
I just like having the desk. I think that's kind of cool.
Did you guys not have a desk before?
Oh, we did have a desk.
An office,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, we did.
We were on different floors. Michael had already set up shop on the 7th floor.
Oh.
I was down on the first. Mm-hmm. I mostly needed my office for the couch because I used to take naps there.
Yeah.
And I would sleep there before going to Springfield and things like that. And I was told that would no longer be possible.
Oh.
Which, if you can see our offices, it would be impossible.
Yeah, but you know what? There's these...
I think you could do it.
What do we call those? Comfort rooms? Or...
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're called something. You can just... There's a gym in the building.
I've
you can
heard.
Go in the locker room and craft.
Go register for that. Here's
sleep
something
under
good.
The elliptical.
Yeah. Seems uncomfortable. From the 301, first chance I've had to listen to the new show was tonight. 5 stars. Wow. And that's
out of 4.
That's a good rating.
It's a great rating.
Hey, Jasmine's on the line. Jasmine, I'm sorry I keep missing you. I've been kind of crazy the last few days. How are you doing?
I'm good. I was going to call, you know, the last Friday night, but I fell asleep.
That's so. Okay. I know you graduated. We were, you know, it's funny. I was looking for your video because my husband called. He goes, "What did Jasmine say about getting the wrinkles out of the cap and gown?" And so we thank you for your help on that, Jasmine.
Did it work?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
All right. Well, congratulations to Griffin.
Thank you.
He's going to high school, right?
Yes, I'll be going to high school next year.
How's the big move going?
We're pretty good. We're almost settled in, and Andre Darlis is joining us now on the show. She joins the Patty Vasquez show, and we've moved into our office.
Yeah.
It's been pretty smooth.
It's been smooth too.
I saw the video you put on Facebook when you were walking in that first night.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. You guys are sharing a building with the Chicago Emergency Department.
Yes, there are. The Chicago Fire Department has an emergency headquarters downstairs. There's like, did you not know that?
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. There's like their scuba, like they have part of their scuba department. They've got a lot of their emergency vehicles like right downstairs outside our doors.
Yep. I have to go check that out.
Yeah.
I saw the big fish tank on one, and then I saw the coffee place that you showed me on one, too.
Yes, there's a coffee shop. Right, the fish tank is cool. There's a massive TV screen that shows all the White Sox games, by the way, and WGN television in the lobby. So.
Cool.
Patty, speaking of that, I tuned in, I think it was last night when the post-game show was going on. And can you describe the studio a little bit? Because they mentioned something about there's a lot of moving parts in there.
Well, in the studio that we're in right now, we are overlooking the Chicago River just to the north of us, right?
Yeah.
Right behind me is the Chicago River. And then we've got Columbus Drive to the west of us. Right there, right? So that's Wacker running this way,
right
along the river.
Correct. Yeah, so, and then Navy Pier and the lighthouse would be to the east of us.
Yes. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And so inside the studio, we have a much higher desk actually than like the console. Everything is higher, so we have the choice to stand or sit on higher chairs.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like our older office chairs, but they are more like bar stools in a way.
They kind of are,
which seems oddly comfortable to me and familiar.
Do you have to learn a bunch of new tech?
I have not really. Michael has had to do the brunt of the heavy lifting when it comes to learning the new equipment and how things really work. So, Andrea and I think we're in good hands with Michael behind the helm.
Oh, completely.
Yes.
Oh, and I do have something good to share.
Yes, please. Tell us.
On Friday, I went on my first sailing lesson.
Oh, that's wonderful. How'd it go?
Well, there really wasn't a lot of wind, so there wasn't a lot of sailing going on. It was more like power boating with sails up.
I've always wanted to do that.
And did you guys know that there's slides on the lake?
There are slides? Like, I've heard about these, like, party zones.
Like, when there's, when there's no wind, there's a bunch of bugs flying around.
Oh
my gosh.
Slides. I thought you said slides.
Flies. I have heard about that.
Yes,
I knew someone who got married at the Shedd Aquarium, and they had the food outside and had to learn the hard way that you should put, like, had it enclosed or something under plastic.
Well, Jasmine, I look forward to hearing more about your adventures and your sailing lesson throughout the summer. We have to run, okay, Jasmine?
By the way, real quick, I got a new baseball bat, so whenever you're ready.
All right, let's get out there and hit a
ball.
That sounds good, Jasmine. All right, we'll talk.
Have a good night.
Have a good night. Get some rest. We'll listen to Nick D and then get some rest. All right?
Bye.
Talk to you later. More after this on 720 WGN.